about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. All right.
Okay.
You guys
ready
to rock? Let's do this.
Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I had about probably 8 Taco Bell tacos. I could crush a little bit more. How many tacos can you crush from Taco Bell?
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to go to the gym. I'm going to get diabetes if I don't go to the gym. And I really feel like crap. I really do. I don't feel healthy like I did when I was doing MMA. I'd love to get back into the MMA scene. I really would. Myself, I kind of, I struggled with alcohol.
And I can never be a part of that because I cannot give up junk food.
And now.
Bear with me for a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Our feature presentation.
I love that he just takes all the time up, gives no time for answers.
Yes.
And is very comfortable talking about himself and the issues that he has.
Absolutely.
Well, look, Kevin, you haven't been in Hollywood for very long.
That's true.
When a star goes to a public event like a movie red carpet, what they want is to learn about the person doing the interviewing. That's what they're there for, is to hear about that person who's there asking
questions.
See, I
thought it was the other way around.
No. They're not there to talk about what they're interested in or promote their movie or project. They want to hear what the interviewer has to say.
I misunderstood that all this time.
Yeah. So Muggs is actually the king of that.
All right.
Look, no one wants to fire a beer mug more than I do. But I have to tell you, maybe it's just because we're into the holiday season. It's emotional time of year. I'd miss that little bastard if we didn't have him do an interview.
I would too.
I would be super sad if we no longer had Muggs doing interviews.
But is there a way to separate that? Is there a way to, I don't know, replace him here and use him there?
Fire him, but still make him go out and do the interviews for free.
Well, I guess I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking we'd pay him, but let's go free. I like that.
All right, Muggs, you got a new gig for 2014. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
Welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday morning. It's got to be the 4th of December.
That's correct.
Here's a great story. Frequently, in perusing the news, I come across indecent exposure stories. And I'm always fascinated with what the perp comes up with. Oh, you thought I was master? No.
What? No.
No, I was fill in the blank, you know, adjusting my underwear, whatever it is they come up with. And I'm always impressed with the creativity that some of them come up with. For instance, here's a guy. He's a teacher in Tasmania, which I think is down there where, Lisa? Like in Australia? Is that part of Australia,
oh, yeah,
Tasmania?
Yeah, it is.
I think it's just a cartoon village.
No, it's not in Australia, but it's across the Tasmanian
is it an island?
Sea. Yes.
Okay. He was arrested in the in a suburb of Launceston.
Sure.
And he was arrested by the police after two witnesses reported that he was masturbating in the front seat of his car. So he goes to court and he says, "What? Are you
you thought
me? What?" No, I was writing something down with a penis-shaped novelty pen.
Oh.
And you, from where you were, you thought it was the real thing? No. Just a penis-shaped novelty pen.
Which
that's
I don't
all.
Have on me anymore.
Yeah, if I'm the judge, I give him 2 hours to go get that pen.
Yep.
Right, exactly.
I'm not buying it.
I lost it. I don't know when I got arrested. It must have fallen out of the car. Or so. I don't have it anymore. He also, by the way, had a doctor come to the stand in his defense to testify in front of the judge in courtroom that the man had distinguishing marks on his genitals. Our old friend, distinguishing marks on his genitals is back. His lawyer pointed out that even though the man had distinguishing marks on his genital and doesn't say if it was, Mickey Mouse ears or what, if he's like Michael Jackson, it said, isn't it interesting? Both of these witnesses that claimed they saw this guy with his penis out did not mention the distinguishing characteristics. But the jury rejected that argument, saying, look, they could have seen the penis without, getting out a microscope to look for it.
Yeah, you could see from a distance, I'm sure.
Right.
What
exactly.
He's doing. You don't want to get closer and see more.
Right, exactly. You're not sketching him. You're just observing what he did in the car.
Correct.
Right? Anyway, he was found guilty of 2 counts of indecency. And has been placed on the sex offenders register. So this is a warning for you if you were planning on using the penis-shaped novelty pen. That one does not have a good track record so far, so you got to come up with something else.
Had that in your back pocket for a long time. You're just looking for the opportunity.
Right.
Right.
Don't use it.
That's a lot of masturbation.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Go now before I lose interest.
Your parents got drunk and embarrassed you.
Oh, that doesn't happen, does it?
We're going to take your calls in the 6 o'clock hour on this, coming up next hour. Your parents got drunk and embarrassed you. I can't wait for that, because parents aren't always they don't always make the best decisions.
They're not always the example you want to follow.
We have a brand new Bean's Death Corner. We are going to talk to Will Forte about his starring role in the movie Nebraska, which really does it look like not my kind of movie, and great. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Both. Yes.
And I think you will see it.
I do.
And I think you will like it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Comedian Eddie Pence will be in the studio talking about his Hollywood improv shows. We're going to tell you a little bit more about the Pope being a bouncer. The Pope used to be a bouncer in a nightclub.
He just gets cooler and cooler.
That is badass.
He really
does. If we find
out
that he rides a Harley, it's going to be all over.
And he was an MMA fighter, I think. I'm not positive about that last one.
And he's British Secret Service.
Right. And we have tickets for both nights at the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is coming up this weekend. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I wish I knew the person that you're referring to. I wish I knew his name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yay!
That's strong. Wow. I thought you might be losing some of your powers as we get near the end of the year here. But, man, you're still throwing bombs, man. That's great. Let me hear that again.
If someone refers to someone, you do know their name because they just said their name.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's logical. And yet it was me.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I wish I knew the person that you're referring to. I wish I knew his name.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow. Well done. Hey, got a brand new Bean's Death Corner for you coming up right after the top of the hour, because who doesn't want to start a Wednesday morning with some sweet, juicy death? Including a couple of Final Destination type stories where it was just their time. There was nothing they could do about it. They were going to die that day.
When's
That's
your
all.
Time?
No kidding.
When does that time come?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but you guys promised you'd put me in an all-new Death Corner if it happens, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
By the way, I saw Sweet Juicy Death last night.
Did you?
True. It was really good. Yeah, it was amazing.
How's the new lead singer? I was worried when they lost Bilbo.
They do.
Bilbo.
They do have a new lead singer every time they perform. So, you know, they're scraping the bottom, I'll be honest.
Because they all died. Yeah, freakish accidents.
Right.
All right, Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on today?
Well, it's no easy segue from Bean's death talk into the Paul Walker story, but there are new details about the crash that killed Paul Walker. Apparently, as expected, there was some sort of mechanical failure, a leak of power steering fluid in the Porsche he was traveling in. New York Post reported yesterday there was evidence of a fluid burst and the subsequent fluid trail before the skid marks at the accident scene. So they believe there was a burst in the line that held the power steering fluid.
No kidding.
And that fluid was found before the skid marks. So saying that once that drained out, the car became almost impossible to drive, and that's what caused the driver to lose control.
Don't you automatically sort of assume that car into tree equals some sort of alcohol or drug?
Yes. Usually.
Or speed?
Speed, I thought.
Speed, yeah.
But it was during the day. It wasn't like they were out partying or something. You know, I just assumed it was some sort of speed related. He was showing off or trying to push it to the limit and see what happened and just lost control.
How terrifying, though, for those final few seconds to realize you can't turn the wheel. Has that ever happened to you guys, like on ice or anything like that, where you literally had no steering ability?
Oh, sure.
Oh, it's happened on
when
ice,
I lived
yeah.
on the East Coast. It happened all the time. I'd hit a patch of what they call black ice, which is completely see-through. You don't see the white color of ice. It
just looks like the road.
It's like asphalt. Yeah. And then your next thing you know, you're going sideways down the street.
I was on the George Washington Bridge, I think, which goes from Maryland into Virginia. I wasn't driving. I was a passenger with a friend, though, on one of those kind of snowy D.C. days. And we hit the ice, and it seemed like it took 20 minutes for us to go across the bridge through traffic, by the way, and not hit any other cars, but cross several lanes into the side of the bridge. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it took forever, but I knew it was not going to be good when we got to the other side and hit the wall.
Yeah.
Sure wasn't.
Talk about terrifying. Excuse me. In addition to what they found, investigators have determined they believe the pair were still conscious after the crash.
Oh, no.
They only had about a minute before the car burst into flames. So footage from a nearby security camera shows black smoke starting to rise from the crash about 60 seconds after they hit the light pole and the tree fell.
Wow.
So
that's worst case scenario. Every place you look.
Just terrifying. Monday, apparently, the Walker family, his father, sister, and two brothers, had a private vigil near the scene of the car crash, and the stars of the Fast and Furious movies joined them there. Vin Diesel, Tyrese Gibson, Michelle Rodriguez, Ludacris were all there. And after the service, Vin Diesel made an impromptu speech to the crowd using a microphone from the sheriff's car.
Oh, no.
Because somehow he had to find a way to bring it back to being about him, I guess.
It was very sweet. I don't know if you saw this speech.
I did.
It was very sweet.
Was it sweet?
It was wildly inappropriate.
Was it?
I didn't think so. Absolutely. He was responding, telling the fans of the franchise how much it meant to everybody that they were there.
You don't do that at a vigil. With the family there, that's not for you. That's not your time to put it on you. Release a statement. Do it in some classy way. You don't grab the sheriff's bullhorn from the car speak into the microphone and then give a speech just because the people have accumulated there.
Now that's not how I read it at all. I thought it seemed very sincere and very touching.
But there's a time and a place.
Yeah, I'm with Ralph. Seems inappropriate.
Yeah. It was icky, in my opinion. As is Victoria's Secret, I will no longer wear any of their underwear.
Wow, that's a lot for you.
I am boycotting all of Victoria's Secret line of lingerie. I will no longer wear their bras, their panties, their pinwalls.
Whatever those are.
You wear their panties every day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I don't know.
Now, will you switch to another brand, or will you just go commando now?
No, I might go another brand. That brand. They might lose me as a customer.
Why? So, I'd be happy to have you.
Well, because they fired one of their models.
Don't tell me.
Australian supermodel Jessica Hart.
Oh, I don't know.
Apparently is no longer welcome to any of the Victoria's Secret runways.
Now, do we love her?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know her, but
first
yes.
First of all, you do.
Okay.
Get a picture of her, beer mug. Do your job. Pull her up.
What's her name?
And Jessica Hart.
Jessica Hart.
And Australian accent.
Oh.
That's all you need to know. They apparently have dismissed her because she publicly dissed Taylor Swift.
Ha! So, she should have.
Exactly. So she's beautiful, she's smart, she's Australian, and she hates Satan.
That is not okay.
Because Taylor Swift apparently was on the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I don't know. I fast-forwarded through that part.
Ugh.
It airs on the 10th.
But she was asked afterwards, do you think Taylor Swift could pull it off as a lingerie model if she wanted to be? Could she be on the runway as well as performing music?
Oh, my God, no.
And her answer was no.
Of course not.
She said, no, God bless her heart. I think she's great. But I don't know. To me, she just doesn't fit. Truth. She just spoke the truth.
And she got fired for that?
Yes.
I thought it would be for saying something about not liking her music or why is she a part of this, but
no,
could she be a supermodel?
She just said she couldn't be a lingerie model.
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's insane. It's maddening. It's infuriating. And until Victoria's Secret does the right thing, I will no longer wear their product. So there.
Well, that's saying something.
I was going to buy the big bra, too, with all the jewels and stuff on it.
The $1 million one?
$1 million bra.
Sure.
Yeah.
You buy that and wear it every year?
I would.
Cruise to Christmas.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tyra Banks, speaking of models, she's 40 years old today.
Nope.
I guess you have to. I mean,
she's a beautiful woman. She's heinous, but she's beautiful.
She's a horrible human being, but she does look like that, so you got to give her that. What? Kevin's making an executive decision.
Wow. Taking it back.
Wow.
So her personality is so foul, Kevin, that you can't even see the hotness anymore?
Yep. It's like trying to drink water that's poison. You go, yeah, but most of it isn't poison.
Yeah, I'm thirsty, but it'll kill me if I drink it. Hey!
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
She is.
Tyra is a whore.
A what?
A big fucking whore.
Ah.
Rapper Jay-Z.
Was that insane? Was that not crazy?
It was crazy. Does she still have that show anymore?
I don't think so.
Boy, no. She's just got top model, I think.
Still does the top model.
It's a god-awful
shush. Yeah, it was terrible.
Jay-Z's 44 years old today. Comedian Fred Armisen, one of our favorites from Portlandia and SNL, 47 years old today. Marissa Tomei, Oscar winner Marissa Tomei, 49 years old today. And actor Jeff Bridges, you know I adore him
so much.
One of my favorites, 64 years old today. The dude abides.
That's correct.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That is the latest from Lord, by the way. It is called Team. You can see the video for that song up at krock.com. And while you're there in the Kevin and Bean section, why not check out our interview with Muse? They stopped by on the show yesterday. And get all the details on how you can win tickets for both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You know, we've been
running for Miss Double December as well.
Oh, there's a lot of things. Yeah. A lot of things going on at the website.
Right.
You know, we've been reading this list off of bands that are going to be there. But when you really stop and think about the lineup for night number one and night number two this weekend at the Shrine.
Yeah, can't wait.
It's really one of the best lineups of any show that I've ever seen, a K-Rock show or not. I don't know how you get all those bands in one place on one stage in one night. It's pretty insane.
Well, let's hold off judgment until we can pull it off.
Okay.
Good
and then
point.
We'll see. It is Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your parents got drunk and embarrassed you later this hour. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Some pretty entertaining death going on these days, and I'm happy to bring it to you once again in a brand new segment.
I don't have that category.
Here's a 27-year-old woman in England who's very accomplished, very smart, training to be a psychologist, had already been published in several medical journals, and her field of interest was helping people with drug addictions. Dr. Drew would like this woman very much. That's her specialty. That's what she went into. She had just gotten a new job, very impressive job, overseeing a drug rehab facility. She was celebrating her new job when she overdosed on 9 different drugs in her system.
Oh, my God.
How did that happen?
She had everything, including vodka and cocaine. Also, there's a so-called legal high known as benzofury, which I'm not familiar with, which is something that you can buy on the internet. And she had done it all. She and her boyfriend were doing drugs at this, have a celebration at her parents' house, by the way. Her parents, completely shocked by this, said, no, you're wrong. She's never done drugs in her life. She's a straight-A student. She's had no interest in this lifestyle whatsoever. Her boyfriend said, oh, yeah, we've taken drugs hundreds, if not thousands of times before.
God.
It's how we would chill out together. Isn't it crazy that her field of interest would be to help people who are addicted to drugs? And she was, in fact, herself a closet drug addict, hiding it from everybody except her boyfriend.
I'm guessing that that happens a lot, that the people who need help the most are forced in that direction somehow, and yet
I'm just so surprised.
Crazy people become therapists and psychiatrists.
Like, maybe so, because that's their issue,
right?
I'm just so surprised that she could be on the road to being a psychologist and, you know, go to medical school and publish all those journals and everything like that, and still be doing all these drugs and not have people know about it. That was a surprise for me. Two stories here this morning on Bean's Death Corner of, as I mentioned before, Final Destination. It's just your time. This is Sally Ann Oakley. She is already a cancer survivor. 6 months ago, she was involved in a horrific motorcycle accident. She had been unable to leave her house until last weekend. That's how slow the recovery was from the motorcycle accident. She walked out of the house to go across the street to the Wawa convenience store to get herself a newspaper and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
A 24-year-old Amanda Style Mays crashed into her in the crosswalk. The woman ran a red light and killed our little friend, Sally Ann Oakley, who was out of her house for the first time in 6 months. Her husband of 41 years, Bill Oakley, says one of her favorite things to do was to walk across the street to the Wawa gas station, and she was so looking forward to going again. That's just your time, right?
Yeah. Yes. You just look at that and go, well, that happened. There's no
cancer, motorcycle accident, and then you get run over in a crosswalk. It's not like she was jaywalking. It wasn't her fault. She had to die.
Wow.
A similar story. This is Lacey Grunniford. She is in Gilbert, Arizona, Kevin, near your hometown. 22 years old. She's taking a massage therapy class. As the class was seating on September 27th, she went up to a student and asked, hey, I would like to sit closer to the front of the class so that I can see and hear the teacher better. I'm way in the back. Would you mind switching seats with me?
Okay.
I think you know what happens in the movies. Anytime you ask somebody to switch seats with you, an 87-year-old woman, 2 minutes later, drives her car into the front of the school and kills our little 22-year-old Lacey.
That changed seats?
The one who changed seats.
Oh, man.
Yeah. No.
Meanwhile, the guy, the student who had switched seats with Lacey, just had superficial injuries to his elbow and knee. What do you do, by the way? Kevin, I know you hate the old people and the old people driving. What do you do with the 87-year-old who, it's the oldest story in the book, she stepped on the gas instead of the brake. What do you do with her? She's, besides take her license away, I hope. I hope they do at least that. Should you be charged for something like that? You can argue that it's a mistake, but it's still a mistake that caused somebody to lose her life.
Yeah, there's accidental death. I mean, that is, what is that, manslaughter, I think?
She was not charged, in case you're curious. The police said there was not sufficient evidence to prove that the accident was reckless, negligent, or intentional. So
what
they decided
kind
it would
of
be,
proof do they need?
They decided it would be unwise and unjustified to seek criminal charges. So she basically killed someone and got away with
it.
And finally, here's a story that is a result of that phenomenal college football game that we told you about. This was Alabama and Auburn, the cross-state rivalry in the Iron Bowl. If you didn't hear about what happened, here's the radio play-by-play call of the end of the game. As Alabama's attempting a field goal to win it, as time expires on the clock, an Auburn receiver catches the ball because it comes up short of the goalpost and runs it back 109 and a half yards. To get a touchdown and win the game for Auburn. And then I'll tell you how this ended up killing a person.
56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
A woman charged with killing a fellow Alabama fan after the end of last weekend's Iron Bowl game was angry at the victim because she didn't seem upset enough over the Crimson Tide's loss to rival Auburn. Adrian Briscoe, 28, was charged Monday with the murder of killing 36-year-old Michelle Shepherd. She said, according to witnesses, the victim's sister, in fact, Nikesi Shepherd, said that she witnessed the killing and said that it was because the sister had compared the Alabama loss to a Miami Heat loss, saying, yeah, it's just like if the Miami Heat loses a game.
Right.
And apparently this Adrian Briscoe was not having any of it. She was outraged. She said, I can't believe you're not a real Alabama fan if it doesn't bother you that you lost. Then she pulled out a small caliber handgun and started shooting. There were about people on hand to witness that. By the way, these people were at a house party with about 100 people watching this game. They did not even know each other. They just got into a fight after the game had ended because one was playing down the loss.
Wow. Oh, my God.
They take their college football seriously in a lot of places. In Alabama, man, even the women take their college football seriously.
It is all they have.
You don't see that very often. So that's a sad story, but this is an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
So here's the question as we get into today's Kevin and Bean phone topic about you having your parents drunk and embarrass you. Should you ever let your children see you drunk? If you're a parent and you're a drinker, should your kids ever see you drunk? What do you guys think?
It's best if they don't.
I think no.
If you can help it.
Here's an interesting.
I know you're all going to laugh at me for saying that, but I think no.
How do you avoid it, Kevin? Spent a lot of nights away from home. Oh, daddy's out of town on business again. Here's an industry-funded charity called Drink Aware, where they were investigating the causes of alcoholism, and they're wondering what the relation is with parents who drink.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's any conclusion to be drawn from this, but I thought it was an interesting statistic. And then, Lisa, we want to hear your story, and then we want to hear stories from the Kevin and Bean listeners where they've seen their parents drunk. Some 46% of children ages 10 to 14 have seen at least one of their parents drunk.
Okay.
That's almost half, by the way, of kids that are 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old. 29% say that they had witnessed this on more than one occasion. This was a poll of 1,000 parents. 42% of parents admitted that their child had seen them or their partner drunk. And they're exploring the relationship, and they have come to the conclusion that you are more likely to have a drinking problem if you see your parents drunk on more than one occasion.
Dr. Drew's been saying that his whole life. Oh, really?
Trying to tell me, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Now, what about in the case of Lisa, though, somebody who's not a 13-year-old living at home, somebody who is an adult who has her own, you know, own life separate from her parents? If she gets together with her parent, you know, with her mom in this case, and she gets drunk, is that a big deal?
No, that's all good.
No, it's not. And the thing is, I never saw my parents drunk growing up. In fact, I almost never saw them even have a glass of wine. They just really didn't drink.
In fact, they didn't even drink water. It was weird.
I don't know how they're still alive. And but my mom, the first time my mom ever got drunk in front of me, and it wasn't, she was at a wedding and she was a little overserved, so she called me to pick her up.
Okay.
I was like 22. But over the years, as she's gotten older, I think that she likes to drink a little more, and she can't drink more because she keeps getting smaller.
She's tiny. Right.
You know, she's shrinking.
So it takes like,
and her metabolism has probably changed a little bit.
It takes like a shot.
Yeah, it's like a glass of wine and she's getting loopy. Okay. But the thing is, she's at that, in her head, she's like, I'm having fun now.
Well, of course.
I need more wine because I want to stay feeling this way, completely forgetting that it hasn't all hit her. So
It works in drinking 101.
Yes, exactly. So we were in Cabo and we went to Poncho's, and anyone who knows Poncho's, they serve giant, yummy margaritas.
Right.
And my little tiny mom had this
cartoon glasses
margarita.
Right.
And then she wanted more. So I go, all right, we'll get a little one and I'll share it with you. I never got a sip of that thing. It was gone before I turned around.
You couldn't get it out of her hands?
No.
So you're in a, and this is a, it's a weird shift of dynamics when you all of a sudden are the boss, right, Lisa? Because this is your mom.
Yes.
And now you've got to kind of be the parent this time and say, no, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm taking that away from you.
Yes. And we've got to go now. I want to look at the jewelry next
yes.
door. This is a really nice jewelry store next door. So we go in there and we put her in a chair and she keeps getting up to look at things. We're like, well, bring them over. Sit down. We just can see her crashing
through
this jewelry store.
I love that so much.
And, oh, my God. So we finally just poured her into a cab. We got back to our room, and literally she just fell into bed.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen my mom do that before.
That's awesome.
And she got fine the next day.
Really?
Yes,
weird. Is it weird
do.
For you, Lisa, to be out drinking with your mom?
Well, it
does that feel at all weird?
Drinking, we were having dinner and we had a margarita.
Oh, your mom
but
was drinking.
As it turns out, my mom was drinking.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. So that was a little odd.
So that's not normal for you. All right, we're looking for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. If your parents did something that embarrassed you, especially in public, 1-800-520-1067. Now, I would like to say it can't be a painful memory. We're not looking to get bummed out.
Yes.
We're yucking it up, right?
Yes,
right.
Exactly. If you have a yuck it up story, that's what we're looking for.
I want a story of some parent who got drunk and brought home somebody from a bar. That's the story that I'm looking for. And then the kids the next morning are like, hey, who's the old guy? Or whatever it is. You know,
that's horrible.
Who's the new mommy? You know, those are the stories I want to hear about.
Who's the walk of shame dude?
1-800-520-1067. Real quick, before we take a break and get right to your calls. Muggs, you had a friend, similar problem with a parent drinking?
Yeah. Two of my friends, they threw a dinner party a night before their wedding, for the wedding party. And the parents were divorced. So the dad, about five wine glasses later, started telling off the ex-wife, the mom, in the middle of dinner.
Oh,
not
no.
even my parents, but embarrassing for everybody
of
sitting
course.
There.
Awesome.
Yeah, the wedding party. The night.
I love it.
It was good times.
Oh, that's a great story and well told. I love it.
I'm practically there.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take a break and take your calls next.
Your parents got drunk and embarrassed you. That's the topic of discussion this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, before we go to Matt on line three, listen to this from Dawn. Dear Kevin and Bean, my dad worked for IBM, and one year their Christmas party was at the Disneyland Hotel. Families were encouraged to join the employees and spend the evening at the park. Well, my mom and I arrived to find my dad just smashed. He threw up on the swans in the moat at Disneyland. And when it was time to leave, he was skipping through the parking lot and could not find his car in front of everyone. I was mortified. That's the kind of entertainment that we're looking for.
Hey, Bean, I know you probably already deleted that email, but hang on to that, would you?
Okay.
For a later topic. All right, let's start with Matt, like we said. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys.
What happened? What happened? Your parent embarrassed you.
Well, it was our wedding day, and at the reception, my dad was walking around the floor with his shirt over his beer belly and just rubbing it.
Oh, no.
Just showing people how the beer gut?
Yeah, and then when it came down to cut the cake, you know, the bride and groom, they take the first bite.
Right.
And after that, he was like, cake, and just dug his little hand in there and was like, delicious.
Put his hand in the cake.
Yep.
Does he have a drinking problem, or was this just a one-off?
No, it was a one-off. He went out. Yeah,
that's
a lot of alcohol.
Did you try and talk your bride into the fact that this is not going to happen for her whole life?
Yeah, I was like, it's not going to happen again. Don't worry about it. He's like, you sure? It looks like he's enjoying it. I'm like, I don't know.
But look, that was probably the funnest thing that happened at your wedding reception. That's the thing that everybody will remember and laugh about when they talk about. So
and
I say go with it.
It is, and it has been.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Matt. Let's go to Rich. He's on line five. It's a real Jerry Springer type moment for Rich. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Parents embarrassed you.
Yes. A little family reunion. My mom decided to have a little get together, so we went to the Blue Water Marina at Parker. Hadn't seen her in quite a few years. Show up in her room. She's already got about, I don't know, three cases of beer, a fifth of tequila, a fifth of vodka.
Holy cow. Had she been a drinker her whole life? Must have been.
Her nickname is Tequila Sheila.
Okay. That's the kind of nickname want your mother to have.
Tequila Sheila.
And I'm there with my son. So this is Grandma.
Oh, my God.
So we go down to the casino, play a little cards. I go to my room with my son. We're out like lights. About 2 o'clock in the morning, get a knock on the door. My mom and security and my sister and security said, you got to leave.
They kicked you out? Why wouldn't they just kick your mom out?
Because my mom had gotten both the rooms in her name, and they were kicking her and everybody in her party out of the place.
Oh, my God.
Because she had gotten in a fight with my sister down in the casino.
Fantastic.
They rounded everybody up and kicked us all out.
Well, I think they did the right thing. Thank you, Rich.
Somewhere there's a photo of Tequila Sheila on the wall of that casino. She is not allowed back in.
I love that.
All right. Let's talk to Portia. She got a disturbing phone call from her mom one night. She wants to tell us about. Hi, Portia. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Hi.
What happened to you?
Well, a couple of years ago, I was out with some friends, and my mother called to let me know that she had soiled herself.
What?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She called you to tell you that she soiled herself.
Yes.
And what were you supposed to do with that information?
Yeah, did you need to go over and help her?
No, she just called to let me know, and she was sitting at home just watching TV, and soiled herself.
That's awesome. And I hope you said something to the effect of, you're on your own on this one, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Thank you for the call.
That's another topic when parents S themselves.
Let's not say that.
Let's not do that.
Oh. Nicole writes in, Bean, here's the story you're looking for. When I was a kid, my mom was a single parent, and she liked to go out a lot. I remember one night I was around 7, and she got home really late, and I heard some weird noises. Well, when I woke up in the morning, my teacher was there in the house. My mom told me they were just friends, and it wasn't until sometime later that I finally realized what had happened. I never thought of Mr. Moser the same way. Can you imagine you wake up in the morning and your teacher from school
there.
Is in your house with your mom?
No, that's so embarrassing. No, on so many levels.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Paul. He's on line 3. By the way, is anyone surprised that virtually every one of these stories has been the mother?
Yeah, that's true.
They had the dad with
the
cake
at
the
wedding. Right?
But all the rest of them have been the moms, which I'm really surprised. I don't know why. If I'm a victim of stereotype here, but I assume there'd be more drunk dad stories. But that has not been our case.
Paul, your dad or your mom?
It was my mom.
His mom. New Year's Eve. All right.
What happened?
Back when I was in high school, we had about 60 people over, and she ends up drinking too much. And of those 60 people, about 30 of them were my high school friends, and she ends up butt naked swimming in the pool. My dad is drunk upstairs, passed out in the bedroom, and she's swimming around naked in the pool. And needless to say, it was the story of the
school. You must have been horrified.
Oh, man, I was just torn up. I was hammered, which I shouldn't have been because I was in high school, but I was hammered when it happened. But the next morning I go, what's going on?
Oh, my God, and all your friends were there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I know you're not going to want to answer this question, but I have to ask, and it does make a difference on how embarrassed you were. Is your mom passable naked, or was it really just a terrible, terrible thing for everyone to see?
I've been told she's passable. She's my mom, so I don't like to say that.
I know.
Of course you don't like to.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't you guys agree that if you're really ugly fat mom is in the pool, that's a totally different experience than if everybody's kind of okay with it because she's hot, right?
Yeah, I think that's a given.
That's way worse. To make it even worse, my mom was naked, and then my sister's boyfriend, which she's about 5 years older than me, also got naked and then jumped in the pool, too. So it was It was a disaster, to say the least.
It reminds me of Will Ferrell running down the street in which one was
old school.
That? Yeah, old school.
Old school.
We're
yeah.
all doing it.
Where is everybody?
I don't know. They're behind me. I'm just a minute.
Paul, I'm glad you called. I want to party with your family, sir.
Oh, it's a blast. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you, Paul. All right.
Take off all the thoughts of what we.
Nope.
Right?
Inappropriate. Inappropriate, hey. Throwing the flag.
Doesn't fit.
Throwing the flag.
You're throwing the flag?
10 yards.
Penalty already?
First down. Inappropriate, hey.
All right. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and Ralph, time for the Ralph Garman showbiz beat.
Speaking of penalties, did you hear about your pussy-ass bitch Cardinals?
I don't...
Bitchy-ass...
No, I don't know this story.
Pussy-ass bitch, bitch...
I haven't heard about this either. What's going on with the Cardinals?
I haven't heard this, no.
Bruce Arians, the head coach for the Arizona Cardinals, has compiled a list of 15 plays he felt were improperly called by officials during the Eagles game and has lodged a complaint with the NFL regarding the officiating for the game on
Sunday. Really?
Yeah. Dude, you lost the game.
Badly. It's not like it was a bad call on the last play of the game that caused one team or the other to win.
He is just a bitch.
Yeah,
there have been. Look, I don't know anything about. I didn't see that game or that story, Ralph. But there have been a lot of legitimate complaints about the officials this year in the NFL, including the Redskins the other night, where they screwed up the downs and admitted after the game that they screwed it up.
Yes, that's a flagrant mistake and an obvious to all that call was screwed up. There have been instances of that this season.
Sure.
However, just not liking the way some calls go, one way or the other.
Right, it's part of the game.
It's nature of the game.
I mean, there was what was considered by the announcers a bad holding call against each team on the Monday night game, but everybody's playing with the same refs by the same rules. It happens, yeah.
Play the game.
Yeah, that's a bitch move.
It is.
I agree.
He's like, well, proper channels were followed, and I didn't like it. He added.
Is that part of the quote?
Yes, I never want to see that motion again.
Hey, just giving you a heads up, this Friday night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the Improv in Hollywood on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon, 10 p.m. on Friday night.
No.
And then, of course, there's only a couple left this year. We're doing this Friday, then next Friday, and then we're doing, of course, our New Year's Eve Babylon shows down at Brea. At the Improv down there. But just a couple chances to see Kevin and I remaining this year if you want to check out Hollywood Babylon.
Well, good luck with that.
Go to improv.com for more details. And
is Don on the phone?
Don is not on the phone.
Why do we need Don on the phone?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's very upset about something.
Hey, you know how eager I've been to see Anchorman 2.
Yes.
How much I've been looking forward to it. If you are like me, here's your opportunity to see it before other people see it. This is pretty cool. AMC Theaters... is doing a special event, what they're calling the Anchorman 2 Super Ticket.
Super Ticket?
Are you willing to shell out $33 to see Anchorman 2 before anybody else?
What do you get in addition to the movie?
Here's what you get for $33. The Super Ticket from AMC. You see the movie 2 days before its national release.
Okay.
You also get $5 towards concessions.
Okay.
Popcorn, sodas, whatnot at the concession stand. Okay.
One or the other. You can't get both for $5, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's true. You get a digital download of an alternate version of the original film.
Oh, no kidding.
You also get a copy of Anchorman 2 on DVD when it comes out sent directly to you. So you're pre-buying your Anchorman 2 DVD.
Interesting.
So all that's available to you through Fandango if you want to check it out. It's going to be doing it in 39 cities across the country. So you can get the super ticket and see it before anybody else and get some other bonus features.
I'm tired of waiting for that movie.
I am too.
Let's get to it already.
I am too. Can't wait. This is fascinating to me. I did not think such a thing was possible. You know, you hear all the time about artists doing concert residencies, they're called, at Vegas casinos especially. Garth Brooks just had a TV special on over the holiday weekend of him performing his final solo show at one of the casinos there. And, of course, Britney Spears, her show's going up this holiday. But Billy Joel has done it with Madison Square Garden.
No kidding.
He is going to be their first music franchise, they're calling it. The Knicks play there, of course. The Rangers. The Liberty. And now they're adding Billy Joel as a music franchise to Madison Square Garden. He's going to do one concert per month as long as tickets sell.
Huh.
That's a big room.
It's a big room.
But people travel to New York all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. It'd be going like seeing a Broadway show. Yeah. You go to see Billy Joel at the Garden if you're in town. And they say it will go on for as long as there's demand for the tickets. Now, it's a beautiful deal for him because he lives there, right? So he just shows up once a month and does a big-time concert at Madison Square Garden.
Huh.
Big ticket sales. Big price on the tickets.
I sort of like that concept.
Once a month he shows up and he's there. He's like going to see a sports team on a regular basis. You can see Billy Joel once a month at the Garden if you're so inclined.
They put a banner up on the rafters of Billy Joel's name to go with the sports teams that play there, which I thought was hilarious.
He's the champion.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I don't know either. But.
I was impressed to see somebody trying something different. I mean, Billy Joel, you know, like a lot of older performers, doesn't want to travel the world to perform anymore.
Right.
Why not let the people come to him? As Lisa says, there's a ton of tourists. There's no place in the world he's more popular than New York. I mean, he's got a built-in fan base that's just tremendous. And you could see people buying something like that for, you know, for birthdays and anniversaries and all sorts of reasons they'd want to go see him when it's convenient for them.
I believe Billy Joel has the record for most sold-out nights at the Garden.
That's Elton John, actually, but Billy Joel's very close.
Well, there you go.
All right.
But
seems like a cool idea.
Yeah. And Rolling Stone magazine has revealed its choices for the 50 best albums of 2013 as we get towards the end of the year. Pretty good list. Pretty interesting. May not be for everyone, some of these artists, but here are the top 10 of Rolling Stone's choices of the 50 best albums of 2013. Number 10, John Fogerty.
Wow, I didn't know he had one.
Wrote a Song for Everyone is the name of his CD.
Okay.
That was a tribute album to John Fogerty with lots of artists like Dave Grohl and people like that doing Creedence songs.
There you go. Arctic Monkeys, AM. Ninth on the list.
Excellent.
The National, eighth on the list with Trouble Will Find Me.
Like that too.
Lord's Pure Heroine, seventh.
Nice. Like that.
Queens of the Stone Age, Like Clockwork, sixth on the list.
Great album.
That is.
Number five, Arcade Fire's Reflector.
Great album.
Fifth
great
on
album.
The list. Fourth on the list, Paul McCartney's New.
Nope. No.
New.
Denied.
New. No.
That is not going to happen.
Queenie pie, who's got the ball? It's in my hiney, take a look at me.
I'm not sure those are the lyrics. That's absurd.
Third on the list, Daft Punk.
Sure.
Random Access Memories.
I loved that album when it came out, but I cannot say that I have gone back to it frequently since then. How about you guys?
I have.
Really? You still like? You still listen to it?
Yeah, I do.
But you skip past the Giorgio Moroder, the 11-minute...
No, that's awesome.
No, that's a great song.
Mood
but how
music.
Much can you hear that?
After he stops talking, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
But the story, I don't need to hear anymore.
Put on the car for a long drive. It's good stuff.
Remember this? I listen to this mostly.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Now, that was the bonus track of the Daft Punk album, I believe.
Yeah. Number two, Kanye West's Yeezus is the second.
Of
the year, really.
I liked it a lot.
The second best album of the year.
I agree.
Of the year.
I would say top 10,
though. Of the year.
I know. I think you've made your point.
I don't think I have. The year, the entire year.
Right.
Number one, according to Rolling Stone magazine, best album of 2013.
Wu-Tang.
No. Oh. I am Wu-Tang. I invented Wu-Tang. Vampire Weekends, Modern Vampires of the
Sea. Yeah!
No kidding.
How about that? Congratulations to Vampire Weekend. I wish there was someplace I could see those guys.
Yeah, they're going to be.
They don't tour anymore.
They don't play live anymore. Damn it.
Can't see them. Can't see Arcade Fire either.
Oh,
but another band on the list. I'm sorry to say. Darn Arctic Monkeys, same deal. They're just nowhere. They just don't play
to
anymore.
See those guys.
Playing night number one and night number two.
What the what?
Acoustic
what?
Christmas this weekend.
That's just not possible.
Saturday.
Say and, what?
And Sunday.
There's a concert this weekend?
Yes. That features all of the people that you want to see.
I'm busy.
But not Lord, though, right?
And
Lord
more.
Won't be there.
Wish
Lord
I was
will
available.
Be there as well.
Wish I was available. As well?
I did say whale. I'm not sure why.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Bridges, one of my favorite actors in the history of acting. just great performance after great performance. That's all that guy does.
Yep.
Except for that RIPD thing.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. And that's a movie that's aiming for me.
Yeah, it's loud and bad. It should have been right up your alley.
I didn't even want to see it.
64 years old today. Marissa Tomei, 49. Fred Armisen turns 47 years old today. Jay to the mother F&Z, is 44 years old today. And Tyra Banks celebrates her 40th birthday.
Ah,
sweet.
Tyra Banks really blows.
Say what?
Tyra Banks really blows.
Say what?
Blows.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Actor Will Forte joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so. He, of course, may be best known for Saturday Night Live, but is just getting rave reviews. MacGruber, in fact, yeah. He's also getting even a little bit of Oscar buzz for his role in this new movie called Nebraska from the great director Alexander Payne. Looking very forward to talking to Mr. Forte. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, this is the time of the year as we're into December where you start getting into lists. Ralph, you were just sharing with us the Rolling Stone list of the top 10 albums of 2013, for instance.
Yes.
I thought this was an interesting list, and I thought this might be fun because we are all dog lovers on this program. I think all of us have a dog, don't we?
Correct?
Yes.
Ralph, you've got Reggie.
Yep.
Lisa, you've got Boner.
I got Boner.
Kevin, what's your dog's name?
Moo.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Yeah.
Moo?
Your dog's name is Moo?
Yeah.
As in the sound a cow makes?
Yeah.
Why did we never heard M-O-U. That before?
Because
it's spelled M-O-U.
What do you think, I'm going to bring it up?
That's not even a thing.
It was named by somebody else.
Someone who's brain damaged?
It was named by somebody else.
Someone who had a blow to their head when they were asked to name the dog?
It's like, it's Greek. It's Greek.
And that's what it came out?
For, I don't, my love or I love you or something, I don't know.
Well, stop it.
All right.
All right,
change
so you've got
the dog's name.
I've got two dogs. I've got Linus and Veruca. And the reason I bring up the names is because this is a new list from Rover.com of the top 10 dog names for 2013. Top 10 dog names.
I'm surprised now, I haven't seen this because I get Rover every month.
This is actually, to be completely accurate, this is the top 5 boy names and the top 5 girl names. So I've just combined them for the,
all right.
They may not technically be the top 10, but it's top 5 for males, top 5 for females. I thought it would be fun to take a couple of rounds through, go around the room and see if you guys can guess any of the names that are on this list. We didn't pick any of those names for our dogs.
No, really? Moo isn't on there?
I'm surprised.
Moo is not on the list. But I'd be curious to know if you guys are able to come up with any names, because I was frankly a little bit surprised by this. So why don't we just go around the room, maybe just in a circle or something, right, like that.
Kevin Veruca is not on there either.
No. I'm going to guess Max.
Well, at least you can't wait to play this game.
No,
has to
kidding.
Do with dogs and
take
everything.
It easy.
Ladies and gentlemen, Max is the number one dog name in America.
She saw it.
No, I didn't.
She saw
she
it.
She gets Rover
you
every
guessed
week.
Number one.
Her house Max. Is papered in pages from Rover.
Come on.
So someone needs to keep score. That
I
is a point
it.
For Lisa May.
I think
Kevin,
I get 10 points for getting
start,
number one.
Wait, we didn't even start the game.
Max,
should that count?
This is on first.
I did ask. All right, Kevin, you're up next. So you got any of these names? The other, there are 9 left on the list.
You know why people call their dog Max?
Why?
Because that's the name of the dog from The Grinch.
Oh, is that? Yeah,
oh,
you're right.
Yeah.
I didn't even
right.
know that.
Yeah, people grew up loving that Christmas special, and Max has become a very
that
popular
makes
dog
sense.
Name.
Yeah. And I bet there was a time where there were a billion Snoopies in the world,
sure.
too, when that
yeah.
was popular. But then, of course, that's long off this list as
yeah.
well. So, all right, Kevin, what do you got?
I have Brian.
I'm sorry, there is
Family
no Brian.
Guy.
Oh, great guess.
Yeah. How
reference?
Are people not doing that?
That's a great guess. I'm sorry. It may be further down on the list. It is not in the top 10. Ralph.
Yeah. I'm going with Buddy.
Ooh, Buddy, good. Yes,
good.
Is on the list.
Yay! Very good.
Buddy is the number 3 male name on the
yeah,
list. Well
Buddy.
Done.
Buddy's a good name.
All right. Point for Ralph. Point for Lisa. Lisa, you're up next.
Bailey.
I'm sorry. There is no Bailey on the list. Kevin.
Anybody still going with Rover?
Well, we haven't, but.
I'm going to guess that. I know. I'm going to guess that.
No Rovers. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Kevin, when you get a chance, come back from 1937. Join us here in the room. How about Rocky?
I'm sorry. There are no Rockies on the board. Okay. Lisa.
I meet a lot of dogs named Maggie.
No Maggies.
No Maggie.
I don't meet a lot of dogs in general.
That's all she meets.
What's happening?
She goes around the park sniffing butts.
Do you think, did your thought come to your mind? I meet a lot of.
I met a dog yesterday named Maggie.
Yeah. So there are 10 on the list. So far, we've only come up with 2, but we got time for another couple of quick rounds
all right.
here.
All right.
Kevin, I think it's your turn.
All right. So girls' names or boys' names?
Yeah, we haven't hit any from the girls' list.
I got, she guessed Maggie. Yeah. We haven't hit any of them. Olivia Wilde.
Why do we even bother going to you for anything?
I'm sorry, there is no
they
Olivia Wilde.
They should be.
My turn?
Yeah.
How about Lily?
Lily is on the list. Yes.
What?
In fact, Lily is number 4 on the girls' dog list. It is also, and this is curious, it is also the only name that it is overlapped for the top 10 baby names in America for 2013. Lily and Lily is on the dog list
and
the
human list. That's too much information.
I'm skating backwards.
So well done. All right, let's do one more turnaround. So far, Ralph is in the lead, 2-1. Lisa.
All right, I think Jack is a really popular dog name.
Jack is also on the list. Jack is the number 4 boy doggy name. Well done, Lisa. So we got a tie game. We're not going to be able to quit this. Kevin, you're up.
Lisa has 2, Ralph has 2, and I have 0.
No. Well, you're guessing Olivia Wilde and Rover. What do you expect? And Moo.
All right, Harvey.
I'm sorry. There's no
What's
Harvey.
Wrong with you?
It's a rabbit name.
Can you imagine if you had a dog named Harvey?
That's a rabbit name. Seriously, Lisa.
All right. One more guess from Ralph. One more guess from Lisa. This is going right down to the wire.
But I'm in it, aren't I?
No.
Oh.
How about Annie?
I am sorry, Ralph. No Annies. Lisa, you could win it if you can come up with one of the remaining names on the top 10 dog list for 2013.
Fluffy.
No, I'm sorry. There's no Fluffy. So it looks like we're going to have to leave it in a tie. In case you're curious, here are the top 5 boy names. They are Max, Charlie,
Buddy,
Jack, and Cooper. Curiously, Cooper is on the list.
Who would have ever guessed Cooper?
Nobody. Here are the top picks for female dogs, according to Rover.com. Number 1 is Bella, which we all should have been able to guess because of the stupid Twilight movies. Yes.
Lonely women have dogs and watch Twilight.
There's a Bella next door to me.
Oh, Lisa. Oh, how dare you?
I like how Lisa talks about dogs as if they're people.
Number 2 is Lucy on the girl list.
Lucy.
After that comes Daisy.
Daisy.
Then Lily, which I believe, Ralph, you guessed, or Lisa guessed, one of you guys. And number 5 on the list for girls, I'm so surprised, Lisa, is Molly. Did you used to have a Molly?
No, I had a Maggie, but
you
Molly's
had a Maggie. Okay.
Also very popular.
Moggy, yeah. Yep. So
well,
anyway,
no
so
there's winner. There's just Ralph has 2 and Lisa has 2, and there's one loser, and that's me.
That's exactly right. Yes. Everybody's talking about this new film from Alexander Payne called Nebraska. Sadly, with all the great movies he's made over the years, you know, with About Schmidt and Election and everything, they won't let him make them in color yet. You'd think with the kind of track record this guy had, he could afford color.
Shot it in black and white.
But we couldn't be more excited to welcome one of the stars of the film, Will Forte, joins us in studio here.
Hello, good morning.
Will?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, we're just delighted to have you. This is
Thank you.
Hey, did you grow up around here?
I grew up in Northern California, outside San Francisco, a place called Lafayette and Moraga.
But you went to college here?
Went to UCLA, came down in 88. I'm an old man of 43.
You following UCLA? You see the game this weekend? This past weekend? I am.
I wish I could have gone, but I was up visiting my family up in North Bend, Washington.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So, Nebraska, that's a state, right?
It is a state, yes.
First of all, a great question.
In America, though, like an official state, it's for reals?
Oh, it does not get more American than Nebraska. It was... I've never been to anywhere near the, well, I guess I was in Iowa. I had an old girlfriend who used to live in she was a normal age girlfriend, but it was a previous girlfriend who lived in Iowa. So
but Iowa is a garden state compared to Nebraska. The memories I have of Nebraska is lower your head and just get through it. Just keep moving because there's nothing here.
I had a different experience there. I don't know. It was I found it to be very beautiful. It's a lot of the similar terrain, that's for sure. Much corn. And when I was there, it was all the corn was mowed down, and there were all these corn bale husks.
Right.
Corn bale husks, corn bale husks, corn bale
right.
husks.
You don't know, smart Alec.
Nailed
Take it.
Very
easy.
Impressive. We've heard, I think anyone who's seen the commercial for the movie knows that the short version of the story is your character is driving Bruce Dern's character, who plays your father, on a long trip to pick up a prize that he may or may not have won.
Yes.
It seems like what an unusual topic for a film, and that's one of the reasons why we love Alexander Payne, because he always has such an oddball look at the world. But
It almost seems like the Midwest is a character in your movie. Is that true? Like, this movie wouldn't have worked if you were driving from Baltimore to Philadelphia, right?
Well, I don't know that I agree with that. I agree that that Nebraska is a huge character in the movie, and
what a boring
that's where,
character.
No! Right? Oh my God! If you see this, there's some very colorful characters in this movie. It's wonderful.
But that's fiction, right?
That's where Alexander grew up. He grew up in Omaha. He still lives there half the year.
That's even really? Kidding.
Oh yeah, wow. More than half the year. His parents are there. He loves Nebraska.
What drew you to this project about this old man going to Nebraska? What was it, Alexander Payne?
Oh, absolutely. The script is wonderful, and it's Alexander Payne. I would be crazy to not want to do this. It was the other side of it. Like, who would ever let me do this thing?
Oh, was it tough? Was it a difficult process? Did you have to try out multiple times?
Yeah, taped myself doing a couple of the scenes, and I sent it in just thinking, oh, there's no way I would ever get this
work?
Part.
Do directors actually watch that, or do you get the feeling that just gets piled up someplace?
Not all directors watch them, but he looks at everything.
He
looks at everything. I mean, me being cast in this movie is testament that he really does look at everything, because I am not really a flashy name. I'm kind of a proven box office bomber. So,
and I know you're being self-deprecating, because obviously you're very talented
it's the
actor.
Truth.
I think what's really going on here is not that. It's that you're just so well known for comedy. I mean, even now when you show up on a Drunk History or on a 30 Rock or something like that with that recurring role, people know you from comedy. I mean, that's really. I mean, I would imagine that's the thing that's tough to overcome. I would imagine in some directors' eyes, but obviously Alexander Payne can see beyond that.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think he probably sees it as a positive to get somebody who I don't know. Maybe it's certainly people will probably have low expectations going into
that's
the movie
key,
with
right?
me, which helps, because I do a fine job in this, so it's like, oh, I thought he was going to suck really badly, and it's like, he sucks only moderately, so this is...
He's actually competent. Really- But I just, there's so many people who are so short-sighted, and, there are a lot of people who are doing one kind of acting who could do another. I mean, we had Bob Odenkirk on from this film not long ago, and he was saying the same thing. He's like, Breaking Bad changed everything for him because people saw him able to do a different kind of character than the wacky Mr. Show stuff.
Yeah.
And I think about so many other people who are, Tom Hanks and Bill Murray and Steve Martin and people like that who may have started out just being wacky comedy guys, and people realized, hey, they're just great actors. They can do anything. And that's the road you want to be on, right?
It's so exciting to get an opportunity to do something a little different. I just never thought I'd get this opportunity. And I love doing comedy. It wasn't like I was trying to
I've got to get something in drama.
Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, we want to talk way more about the movie. It is getting just rave reviews and Oscar talk for multiple people in the movie. And you've got an amazing cast. We want to hear more about what it's like working with Alexander and so much more. The film is in limited release right now. It came out last Friday. Again, it is called Nebraska. Our guest is Will Forte, one of the stars of the movie. We'll talk more with Will when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Will Forte in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show from the film called Nebraska. He's here wearing his lucky LA Clippers socks, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw those.
Did not see those. No.
I am. I actually am wearing them.
It's very nice. Are you actually a Clippers fan?
I am. I am.
You're not wearing them ironically?
No. I have been a season ticket holder for years and years.
All right. Let me ask you this question then, because this really bugs me. Why was anybody a season ticket holder before the owner started making good moves like he is now and actually fielding a team like he is now that could go maybe all the way?
That's a good question. I grew up in Northern California, A's and Raiders fan. My dad wasn't a basketball fan, so I was not a fan. I didn't have a team.
Okay.
And Golden State, if their name had been the Oakland Warriors, I would have been a fan.
You would have been fine
with
that. All right.
Yeah. Came down to UCLA, fell in love with basketball. And then had an opening for a team. The agency that I had, they would have tickets. They had tickets to all the Staples Center events.
Oh,
I see.
The
first
okay.
year of the Staples Center.
Right.
And nobody would ever go to the Clippers game. So they would always call me up and say, you want to go to the Clippers? And I fell in love with the team. And I love underdog stuff. And you could not
be
more
now.
Underdog back in the day.
Yeah, yes. No kidding.
I would get so many T-shirts. They would shoot up these T-shirts, and all you had to do was, casually trot over. Yeah, you just had to work for it a little bit.
Casually trot over. Well, everybody gets your own section at Staples Center. Well, like Kevin said, how fun for you now to actually have a great team. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's been so exciting. Oh, can I quickly say hello to my friend Minty Kalra had her birthday last night, and I left early, and so I said I would say hi to her and Liz Paulson, Max Loves, Juan Pablo, and Vicky Prieto.
Really?
Shout-outs!
You had to say that because you left early? Like, that was your penance?
They all said, hey, we're going to wake up, I left pretty late, and they said, we're going to wake up just to specifically listen to you.
All right. Well, they
and
we'll
listen
up.
To you guys.
They're asleep. They're asleep. That's
what they meant really, to. Is there really...
Max listens anyway. He listens all the time, every day.
Well, thank you for that. Is your friend named Minty Cholera? Is that your friend's name?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Cholera, not cholera like the disease.
Oh, okay, right. Good.
It's not as good.
All right, Will, before we get back to Nebraska, I have to ask you this. This seems like it's always a crapshoot when you leave Saturday Night Live. That has to be the most terrifying day of your show business career up to that point. When you walk out of Saturday Night Live, which is a paycheck and B, a fun job, you never know how it's going to go. But it seems like right now we're going through a couple years of people like Amy Poehler and people like Andy Samberg and Jason Sudeikis who are really like just going right into a full-fledged career. And now it's looking like that for you with this Nebraska thing. Tell me what your thoughts were when you made that decision to walk into Lauren Michaels' office and hand in your notice?
Well, I mean, I made the decision after MacGruber came out and did not do well at the box office. So it really was a crapshoot.
Okay, wait. So you had one experience outside of Saturday Night Live that blew.
Yeah.
And so you said, I'm out. I'm going to follow my dream this way.
Well, no, I had been there. We are super proud of the movie. We love it. We wouldn't change one thing about it.
Okay.
We stand by it with all our hearts. But it had been so long. It just felt like the right time to go. It was really sad to leave because it was just the experience of a lifetime. But I just thought it was my family was out on the West Coast. My sister was having babies. I wanted to be closer to them.
How many years were you on Saturday Night Live?
8 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
But you're right. It's always going to be a crapshoot. And
You never know.
I didn't think there was no reason for me to think there was any particular interest in me as an actor. But I wrote before I was an actor.
Right.
So I just thought, I'll go out, see what's happening. If nothing happens acting-wise, I'll just go back to writing, which I love.
But that makes sense. I mean, you're right, because you had something to fall back on if acting didn't continue. So now we talk Nebraska. Let's play a scene from the movie where you are acting with the great Bruce Dern. And by the way, again, I apologize that I haven't been able to see this yet. It's just out now. But is he as amazing as everybody is saying he is in this film?
Oh, he's awesome. He's so great. And June Squibb, who plays my mom, she's amazing. I mean, everybody in this movie is so good.
Before we hear the clip, what is it like for you as an actor when you're acting against people like that? I mean, do they radically change your performance based on what they're doing, or do you have an idea of how you're gonna play it, no matter what they do?
They definitely. Especially these guys, they bring these characters to life in such a way that it's hard not to look at them and get sucked into it and react in a more realistic way. They're such good actors. It was intimidating at first, but
so they make you better. They literally make you better just by being good.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, this is a great scene, and this really does – I mean, this is the centerpiece of the whole movie, so you know what you're getting when you go see Nebraska in theaters now.
Come on. Let me take you home.
Going to Lincoln. It's the last thing I do. I don't care what you people think.
Listen to me. You didn't win anything. It's a complete scam, so you got to stop this, okay?
I'm running out of time.
You didn't even have a suitcase.
I'm not staying there.
Dad, I can't let you go.
It's none of your business.
Yes, it is. I'm your son.
Well, then why don't you take me?
I can't just drop everything and drive to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, what else you got going on?
Nice.
Kevin, can you imagine?
It is. I'm your son.
A worse road trip than with a cranky old dad?
No, I can't.
That's, hundreds of miles through the Midwest?
That's so funny. He's like, I don't care what you people say. You're a son. And you're loved in with
it
you
was
people.
He's just like my grandpa. My grandpa on my mom's side was exactly the character that Bruce Dern plays in this.
When we had Bob Odenkirk on a couple weeks ago, he was telling us, he's been in show business a long time. He was telling us that he's never worked on a set like Alexander Payne.
scenes in that sometimes he only shoots a scene once or twice. Forget this shooting at 30 different angles to get something to edit together. He said, you get it right and move on. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. He is amazing. He knows exactly what he wants, and he'll stay there until he gets it. And if he gets it on the first take, he moves on. And I get nervous. I go, don't you want some kind of safety or
something? Does everybody go, wait a minute, we should take
I could do better. Yeah.
But everybody is so good on that set that everybody's doing, you know, all the crew has worked with him forever, and they're these really incredibly pleasant people who also just happen to be amazing at their jobs. So the sound is always right. The everything's always in focus. It's amazing.
You are wrecked for life.
Is it true that you shot this in one day? Is that true?
It was one day, yeah.
That's quite a shoot.
And we took a long lunch. Yeah.
What is it? Why is Alexander Payne such a mysterious shadow figure? Why would I not recognize him if he walked in front of me right now? Like I would so many other directors, James Cameron, Peter Jackson, and people like that who are kind of out there. He just seems mysterious to me.
Well, I mean, he lives in Omaha most of the year.
Right.
So, you know, he lives out here part of the year, but he loves Nebraska. So he stays there. He's right in Omaha in this beautiful apartment in the middle of the city. So he's
is he just a private, you know, a kind of private person?
I guess so, yeah. He'll get out there and do stuff. But, yeah, he's not you know, not calling these other people fame whores, but he's definitely not a fame whore.
He's not hanging out with Lindsay Lohan?
No. Maybe he is in Omaha. I don't know. I don't know what he does in Omaha.
There's no nightclubs in Omaha, let's be honest.
It's a pretty cool city, I got to say.
Sorry. Yeah. It's a very boring city.
Agree to disagree.
All right. Well, listen, now that you got to Nebraska, what happens next? Are you going to blow up and you're going to be way too big to ever come back to the Kevin Bean Show? What do you think the next thing's going to be for you?
I will always come back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
You don't have to say that. It's all right.
Actually, I saw you guys before. I saw you. I came to the Black Keys show that was here. The breakfast taping.
Oh,
well,
we did. That's right. We did that at the Red Bull Soundstage. That's right. Yeah. I forgot you were
but
at
I
that.
Didn't. I don't think I got to meet you guys. I watched you from afar.
Yeah, we were good, right?
You were great. Oh my god, it was so fun.
Had nothing to do with the Black Keys being amazing.
No, that was fun. But seriously, what are you going to be in next?
I got to do a couple things right after this. Actually, no, there's this thing, Run and Jump, which is another drama movie. It's crazy. I've done
what?
What's happening with you?
I did this right before Nebraska in Ireland. Is this tiny movie in Ireland, and it's coming out in January.
You are the new Christian Bale.
Yeah. I'm going to start losing a ton of weight for something. I don't know what it is.
Just tell people it's for a role.
He's so amazing. Let's see. Well, that's the good thing. If I ever put on pounds, I always just pretend that it's for a role.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what a very exciting time for you. Well, I'm so happy for you. I really am.
Thank you. Thank you. God,
I've admired your work on SNL a lot, except for MacGruber. And I just think this Nebraska thing just looks great. I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to catching up with this one over the holidays. Really nice of you to come in. Will Forte, everybody.
Hey, it's so fun to be here. I've been big fans of yours for a long time, you know?
Again,
so.
You don't have to say that, but thank you.
No, I'm serious.
Very nice. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
Hey, quick reminder, online voting is now open at KROQ.com. If you'd like to help us select who will be Miss Double December 2014, then on Friday, December 13th, the Miss Double December pageant is going to be happening live and in person at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. You are invited to come on out and see that, or you can watch it on the webcast through KROQ.com. You get all the details right there as well.
We've tried to streamline it a little bit. So those of you that went early and had to enter your Social Security number and your address and the hours when you're not home,
yeah,
and your bank account information, we've tried to make it a little easier for
it's
you.
Still honked up, don't get me wrong.
It is still honked up.
We haven't really made the transition yet today. Sometime today it should be considerably easier, but it may not be this morning, but eventually we will get to a better way to vote for the...
It's the last time we let President Obama set up our website, I'll tell you that.
That's
one thing I learned. Hey, comedian Eddie Pence next hour. Ralph Garman is here right now with the Showbiz Beat.
Love Pence. Funny man. He's going to be at the Improv this weekend. Speaking of the Improv this weekend...
Nice.
Thanks so much.
How do you do it?
Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the Improv in Hollywood with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Only a couple more chances to see us this year. We're doing one this Friday, then next Friday, and then our two New Year's Eve shows down in Brea at the Brea Improv. So if you want to catch Hollywood Babylon this year, go to improv.com and click on us and get your tickets there. We'd love to see you come out to the show. We have a good time. And people who come, enjoy it. Lisa, you've been there.
No. Yes. I don't want to go.
You've seen the show.
Super fun.
Nice. Nice that someone from the show has stopped by to see the show.
We get enough of you here, Ralph. I'm going to be honest.
It's a different side of Ralph.
It is a different side. It's a much drunker, much happier side.
Yes. Yeah. It's fun to see.
Let's say you're in New York.
All right. I'm in New York.
And you're driving with your buddy, Sergio. And you're going down the street, Columbus Avenue, and you see Christopher Walken trying to hail a cab, having a hard time hailing a cab.
Okay.
What do you do? What do you do? You
pick
say,
him up.
Let's give him a ride.
Yeah, I think I might do that.
You pull over and say, hey, Chris, we're huge fans. Can we give you a ride wherever you're going?
He pulls out a knife and robs you.
No, he doesn't. He says, yes, thank you. And he gets in your car. And now you're driving around New York City with Christopher Walken in your backseat.
Awesome.
How great is that event?
And he wants to go to Nebraska for some reason?
No, that's a different thing.
Oh.
It all happened on November the 19th. Two fans saw him struggling to hail a cab, pulled over, offered him a ride, and he was gracious and accepted.
How about that?
He wasn't weirded out by the situation, Sergio told the New York newspaper. We were really nice and told him we were fans. We'd be honored to give him a lift, and he was totally cool with it. They drove 40 blocks down the city's west side, and Walken even gave Ash, the other guy in the car, who was an aspiring actor, some advice. They were talking about his career. He said, well, when we stopped his destination, he didn't immediately get out, Sergio said.
What?
He finished the conversation first before he thanked us and left. Wouldn't it be funny if you couldn't shake him?
Yeah,
you
wouldn't leave.
You're like, so anyway, what I was doing, yeah,
we
Deer
gotta
Hunter.
Go. Seriously, we have to go.
No, let me just tell you this. Chimino says to me,
right,
Chris, that one scene.
My right,
doing,
but I have an appointment I have to get to. I actually
okay,
have to get
one
you
more,
out of the car
one
right
more
now.
Story. De Niro, at this point, you're like, oh, God.
That'd be awesome.
What the hell were we thinking? Picking up Christopher Walken. Get out.
Love it.
Start walking, Christopher. That's what I would have said to him.
You are out of control.
I'm best.
That's what I know about you.
Da-da-da. Congratulations to my new favorite show of the fall season, The Blacklist, over on NBC.
Love it.
Just announced yesterday NBC has picked up a second season
Yay!
Of the James Spader series, so we'll get to see more of Red and his Blacklist.
Love it.
Ralph, I know you were out the day that we had the young lady on from that program.
Megan Boone.
Yes.
She was adorable.
Oh,
she was
really?
So
oh,
nice.
What a shock.
So friendly and so funny and just charming. You should have been here.
Ralph's a huge fan was out that day.
I was the one campaigning to get her on the show.
Yep.
Just from episode one. I'm like the Dave King of Mexico. Get her on the show. Oh, is she busy filming an action scene? Finally, he gets her.
I'm not out. She was great, Ralph. She was everything you thought and more.
Spader series has been getting 10 million viewers per episode and then an additional 6 million after you factor in the DVR numbers. So, big hit for NBC, and they're bringing it back for another season, which is awesome. And speaking of NBC, their show Revolution is getting a guest appearance.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is that a bad sign?
Mm-hmm. The guest star will be Poison lead singer Brett Michaels.
Why?
A post-apocalyptic version of himself on the show, and will be performing Every Rose Has Its Thorn on the episode.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, Revolution, have you given up so quickly? Have you just surrendered?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, how do we get these lights on? Hey, isn't that Brett Michaels? With an acoustic guitar. Every rose has its thorn. Hey, guys.
Why? Well, they turn the lights on, and then they're back off, and they're on, and they're back off now. So
I see.
He's got to worry about the cutting out in the middle of a song.
That's why he has the acoustic guitar. He doesn't use the electric. Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking over
that
there.
Seems
but
bad.
I don't know if that's going to drive eyes to Revolution or not.
Hmm.
We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. These people were all born today on December the 4th. Jeff Bridges, one of my favorite actors of all time. Boy, is he good in everything he does. 64 years old today. Marissa Tomei, Oscar-winning actress. For My Cousin Vinny, she won.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely a comic performance wins an Oscar, but she was great in that film. Also great in The Wrestler. Yeah. Remember that? With Mickey Rourke.
I think she's a double Oscar winner. Was it the second movie, The Wrestler? Was that the other one she won for?
I don't know.
She's great. She's terrific.
She is great.
And she's terrific.
She's terrific.
And by the way, beautiful woman.
Yes.
Not just for her age, but period. Beautiful woman.
Period. Even then, she's beautiful. 49 years old today. Fred Armisen, 47 years old. Jay-Z's 44. And model Tyra Banks is 40.
I'm sorry. I missed that last one.
No, it was good enough. I heard it.
Model Tyra Banks is 40.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking for A-N-T-M as in America's Next Top Martian. I'm looking for America's Next Top what?
She's
not looking for America's Next Top Martian?
That's correct. Like you would think.
I wonder if she writes all her own dialogue. Remember when Bean used to be in love with her?
Oh, my God.
She's so horrible, she even drove Bean away.
That's true, and that takes a lot.
That does.
Look, once before she started her talk show, when we were just looking at her, I think we all liked her very much.
There was a time when she seemed
likable. There was definitely a time where she seemed very, very nice. And then the more you got to know her, the more that evaporated. Yeah. I mean, she's still a very beautiful woman, but I would not want to be in an elevator ride with her or something. I'll tell you that.
There was a time when we all used to work together. Where Bean, when he used to come to work in the studio.
Yeah.
Well, his section of the studio was covered with tiny photographs of Tyra Banks that he would cut out of various newspaper and magazines and then tape them to the wall near his microphone.
Is that a surprise to anyone? I mean,
it was
it's a
creepy shrine.
It
to
was
Tyra
a creepy
Banks.
Shrine, yeah. And she saw it and realized its creepiness and turned and walked away. If
Tyra Banks on the phone. How you been? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Hi, Bean.
Hi, baby.
That's back when we used to be in love, remember?
Listen to Bean say hi, baby.
Creepy. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This week. 1 hour from right now, actually a little less, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to both nights of the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Concert.
Yep.
The shows are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday night at the Shrine. We are going to be webcasting those through krock.com, by the way. You can get all the details at the website, but it'd be better to be there in person, right? So tickets to both nights at 9 o'clock this morning, and then 9 o'clock every morning this week, and then throughout the day at 10, 11, 12, all the way up until 6 p.m. Again, details at krock.com. Won't you please join us?
You know how you kind of put people in a box, like teachers have always been your teacher. That's all you know them as. If you see them outside at a grocery store, it throws your whole world off.
Yes,
it sure does.
Because that teacher is supposed to stay in that world of school.
Right. They're not allowed to be a real person with a full life.
Right. Same with the Pope, for example. The Pope, he's the Pope. What could he ever have been other than the Pope? He couldn't have had a life
before
that.
I like to think of popes as being born in some sort of a hermetically sealed chamber.
Right.
And then they just receive food and water from heaven, and they just take instructional teachings from the Bible, and then they become pope. That's it. They've never had a life. They've never smoked a cigarette. They've never dated a girl. They've never held up a liquor store. Whatever it is in their past, I don't want to know. Or whatever. Whatever
I want to know if that happened.
Well, for instance, when Pope John Paul II, became Pope, you started to hear all the stories about all the incredible athletic events that he had participated in. I mean, the Pope, playing lacrosse and stuff like that is just crazy. And then Pope Benedict, he was a Nazi. I mean, that's not the type
that's
of thing you expect from your Pope in the past. And now we're starting to learn more about Pope Francis, right? That's why you bring it up.
That is why I bring it up. Yes, he has now spoken about the fact that he used to be a bouncer at a nightclub.
That's unbelievable.
A bouncer at a nightclub.
He's never even supposed to have been in a nightclub.
He was a bouncer.
But he wasn't always the Pope, Lisa. That's what the point is there was a time where he was just a 21-year-old guy trying to decide what he wanted to do with his life.
God wasn't talking to him then?
No.
Had he been whispering in his ear since he was 4 years old?
He was saying, that guy's had too much to drink. Kick him out.
He was visiting a working-class parish on the outskirts of Rome on Sunday. This is an official report, by the way, from the Catholic News Service. And in speaking with the crowd, he said that he used to be a bouncer in a bar back home in Buenos Aires. And he says, working as a bouncer prepared him for the job of being Pope because it taught him how to bring people back to the church. And I don't know exactly what he means by that, but we just thought it's fascinating that being a bouncer somehow helps you be Pope. So we asked producer Dave if he could hook up the line to the Vatican, and I believe we have Pope Francis on the line with us right now. Hi, Your Holiness. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Good morning, my children. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm very well. God bless you. Pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you.
Yes, and this is, of course, the most wonderful time of year. I know you're doing a lot with the Christmas season, with meeting with your people. I know you're very busy.
This is a big time of year for us. We're moving a lot of product.
So, Pope, this is for real. This you've been quoted properly that you used to be a bouncer in Buenos Aires.
Yes, back home in Buenos Aires when I was a young man.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job working in a bar at the door. I used to work the door. And if there's problems with inside, I would have to remove troublemakers.
Now, did you have to learn how to fight?
No, I knew, always knew.
You always knew how to fight.
When I was a young man, I was a very troubled young man in the streets.
Okay.
I would sometimes use my fists before my mouth, but I've learned, with God's help, to change that around.
Right. So somewhere out there, there's a guy who's got a story about the time the Pope hit him in the mouth.
Well, maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't remember, because when I hit you, you stay hit.
Is that right?
Whoa.
You don't remember so much after that happened. He may think, lightning struck me, perhaps, when I was in that bar. Maybe that's what things happened to him.
Is that, you have a, what's your strong hand, your right or your left hand?
Right.
Right.
But, I can kill you with either hand.
Is that right? Wow. Either okay.
There's lightning and the thunder. You don't want either for have... come down on you because it'd be hold on 1 second.
Right.
Hey, what do you do? What are you doing here? You're not on the list. Get out. Get out of here.
Oh, wow. What happened?
Oh,
what were you?
To be in here. He's not supposed to be in my chapel.
Who was that?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know he's not supposed to be there?
On the list. He was. He just stay by the velvet rope. Stay by the velvet rope.
You have a velvet rope?
That's right. I got a velvet rope.
Right.
What's your name, lady?
Isn't the chapel open for everyone, though?
Not now. I'm having conversation with you, and I ask for a little privacy.
I see.
And people come walking in. They have to respect the boundaries.
Right, but I don't think there's any reason for you to hit people.
Hey,
don't you have Vatican
Cardinal,
security?
You're supposed to walk the door, right? Well, if I said walk the door, give me...
You can't hit the Cardinal.
I got to get that stained glass replaced.
Doesn't it seem like you now, as the Pope, should have a bouncer? Somebody.
Hey, that's
else?
Enough, sec. Hey, that's enough communion wafers for you. You have too much. Get out of here. Get out. Get out of here. Get out. Get out.
Wow. Is that a? Does it sound like a kick? Was that a kick?
Oh yeah, some kid.
Some kid.
You kick your kids.
Some kid eating too many communion wafers.
You shouldn't be beating people up, Pope.
First of all, I'm the Pope.
Right.
I'm infallible.
Okay, but maybe beating people up is beneath you, is what I'm saying.
This choir. You sound like you're a choir. Come here.
Your Holiness, no. They sounded fine here. What's going on? Pope's got skills. Pope Francis. Your Holiness.
Get in tune, bitches.
I feel a little sad, Eddie. Eddie Pence.
Why?
I feel
Why?
A little sad because
Why?
I feel like we're responsible for ruining your life in a way.
You've kind of ruined at least 48 hours of my life. I put 48 hours getting a Wikipedia page.
What happened, Eddie? Last time you were on the Kevin and Bean Show, I thought we all had a good time. I thought there were laughs. And
we did until it started. And then you opened up with, you're the least famous person ever on this show.
Yeah,
Bean did say
started,
that.
Bean.
That's true.
Which is true. I won't deny that fact.
Okay, we've had a lot less famous people than
Bean
you, Eddie.
But Bean does research, a lot of research on guests, and he goes straight to Wikipedia and couldn't find you on that.
It
so,
spun him out.
It's spun.
You don't have a Wikipedia page.
His computer blew up.
It was a surprise.
You don't exist.
It was a surprise because you can find any dog in a TV commercial and
they've
got a Wikipedia.
You just did it again.
Yes.
You did it again.
So what problems did you run into getting a Wikipedia page?
Eddie feels pressured to start his own Wikipedia page.
I felt a lot of pressure.
That's where the nightmare began.
I felt a lot of pressure to start my own. And so I went home that morning after I was on the show to start my own Wikipedia page. And all I was going to put on it was on Kevin and Bean.
Okay,
that's the only credit I wanted.
That would have been funny.
All right, yeah.
And they won't let you do that because you have to have more than that to exist as a human in their eyes.
What? Who's?
I don't know
but
who
you
they
have a,
are.
But you have
who
a long history. You have a big show business career going back 10 years. You've been writing for TV and movies. I mean, you've done a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, but you have to have someone else create your Wikipedia page. You can't do it yourself. But you can change the truth of other people on
minute.
Wikipedia.
Hold
you can't
on.
Do your own Wikipedia page. They won't give you access to your own page.
Do you have an agent or a manager?
I do, but they think they have other things to do.
Because they're the ones who ought to be hooking you up. Yeah,
so you somebody somewhere says, no, Eddie, you can't do a Wikipedia page about yourself. But yes, Kevin, if you want to put nonsense on there about Eddie, fine.
Exactly. Write your own truths about Eddie. He just can't write his own truths about himself.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. So right now I have a page pending.
Oh, it's pending.
It's got to clear the powers that be.
Did you have to go to your neighbor to get you?
I have my neighbor.
Wow.
Who's a very famous commercial actor, so he has some clout in this town. So he created my Wikipedia page for me, and I just have to walk his dog for 6 months.
What a bizarre request. You come knocking at the door.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't mean to bother you, but what, you want to borrow
a
lawnmower?
Sugar? Lawnmower?
I need a Wikipedia page. Could you hook me up with that? Could you open up the old laptop?
But if I'm him, I would say, make it yourself.
He said that.
But they won't. Huh.
And then I was like, yeah, you can't.
They won't let you.
Feel better? Will you feel validated as a professional in Hollywood if you have a page? I think you would.
All I'm going to do as soon as it goes up is I'm going to tweet you the link.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then
take it right down again?
Yeah. And then I'll spike my iPhone 4 onto the ground.
Now, the reason Eddie is here, by the way, is not just to give us the Wikipedia update, although that is fascinating, is because he is going to be this Friday night part of a live show at the Hollywood Improv along with your friends. Who's on the bill with you, Eddie? Who are you working with?
I got a good friend, John Huck. Johnny LaQuasto's hosting, Jen Murphy, some really funny comics that you should know about.
And that's all at 8 o'clock on Friday night. And if that date sounds familiar, it's because Ralph and Kevin Smith are going to be following you. So you're opening for Hollywood Babylon Friday night.
Yes. My big headlining show is opening for Kevin and Ralph's show.
And don't forget your place in this world.
I'm going to run the light by 45 minutes.
So at 8 o'clock, you get to see Eddie Pence and friends at the Hollywood Improv on stage at 8. And then at 10 o'clock, it's Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman. But they are two separate shows.
Two separate shows.
Separate ticket for each.
It's good that you're going to be there working for a change, Eddie, because every time I do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv, you are bellied up to the bar. I see you there every time I go there.
Is that true?
I see you drinking
It just happens that I always go there on Fridays, and that's when the show is. So it looks like I'm there all the time.
And you have a wife and child, for God's sake.
I do. Do you have a wife and child? Every time I see you, you're at the Hollywood Improv.
But I'm making a buck. Well,
he's doing something.
I'm schmusing. That's part of the game, right?
That's what you're
supposed to do.
Do you go there
call it?
To drink and schmusing. Not perform?
Actually, I don't drink.
He doesn't even drink. He just hangs out in the corner.
That's going to be on my Wikipedia page. I'm going to put that on my Wikipedia page. That's a fact.
All right. Eddie Pence is here. We need to take a quick break. We will be back.
On his page, it's going to say, Eddie Pence, guy who doesn't understand how bars work. That's what it's going to say.
On Kevin and Bean.
We'll be right back.
Funny man, Eddie Pence on the show with us right now. You can see him Friday night on stage at the Hollywood Improv with his friends starting at 8 o'clock. Tickets available for just $15 at HollywoodImprov.com. Yeah. Hey, nice job checking in on Foursquare this morning on your way to the Kevin and Bean show, too. Appreciate that, Eddie.
Yeah. Well, that's the only app on my iPhone 4 that works. So.
Did you put it up on your MySpace page as well while you're at it?
If I could log back into my MySpace, I would. But I can't log back in. It's not working.
Did it help here in the building to check in Foursquare?
Are you the mayor of the Kevin and Bean show?
I am.
Eddie just seems like a guy who's just struggling to keep up with technology. I don't know why.
I'm drowning out here.
Like, don't tell him about iPads. It'll blow his mind.
Don't. I'm working with a Kindle, black and white Kindle.
Or you still have to use a flashlight to see it?
I've been watching
I Love Lucy episodes on a Kindle.
I have a Nook.
Now, you're a Redskins fan. We were just talking about
football.
Talking about football. Yeah, I'm from the area. I'm from that area. So, yeah, my dad forced it on me, and now I'm forcing it on my son. So they have no choice.
It's child abuse.
Now,
Have you thought about not
forcing it on your son? How old is he?
He's 4.
Have you thought about, really, maybe this isn't the right move?
No, because God forbid he grows up a Cowboys fan. I couldn't live
with
that.
Oh, that's true.
I couldn't live with it. I can't give him options.
But can't you just say not Cowboys?
I could, but then he could be a Raiders fan, and I don't want that either.
Okay, all right.
Too many bad choices.
That's true.
You got to pick your poison. You got to steer your kid where you want them to do the least damage.
Yeah. So, Ralph, why are you friends with a Redskins fan? That doesn't seem like you.
Eddie and I became friends before I knew.
My enemy is my friend.
That's true. We both hate the
Cowboys. Their enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's
whatever it is. We all hate the Cowboys, so we got that to commiserate against.
But I do
like to pick on him.
He does.
Of course.
He turns the knife.
When the Eagles beat up on the Redskins this season.
Just this year.
It's been
a rough year.
Well, I know, but it's been horrible.
Yeah.
They had so much promise. But they've had no salary cap. It's been rough. And
you got a one-legged quarterback.
One-legged quarterback who had no offseason, so what do you expect?
Yeah.
And no offensive line, so you got that.
Yeah, I want the Eagles to win this year. Anyway, but the Cowboys. So go Eagles.
See, that's how we get people by default. That's
well, the Giants are out of it. The Giants are out of it.
Yes,
I'm following the Arizona Cardinals right to the Super Bowl. That's my ticket to.
Oh, are they going to watch it?
Yeah, they have a box.
They have a bus deal. You can get a ride there for. Jump on the Arizona team bus.
I hate to say this because I don't like Bean, but
oh yeah, no one's going to beat Seattle.
Boy, Seattle looks just like a powerhouse.
They really do.
Do you think they peaked too soon, though? You think last night or Monday night was like the best they're going to be? Like that's the best they can play?
I think even if they don't play that good, they can beat most teams in the NFL. Yeah.
But could they have done that to the Saints in the Superdome? I don't think they could have done that to the Saints in the Superdome.
Well, we'll find out because they beat San Francisco earlier this year and this weekend are going to San Francisco to play them again. So we'll see if they're able to do that away from home. You're right. The home field advantage is huge for Seattle.
But
I mean, they've got a lot of weapons. I mean, the Seahawks are – I mean, I'm not trying to overhype them because they've never won anything. But it'd be hard – you'd be hard-pressed to find a better game played by anyone than they played on Monday night. There was very little to find fault with that.
Right, but when it gets into the playoffs, you really do – anyone can really beat anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's
absolutely
where it gets up. Yeah. You play a bad game, you're out.
But the level of energy they bring to every game is ridiculous. It's like I noticed that them above any other team, just the level of energy that they bring every game. That automatically sets them above most
people.
I've
never seen an open stadium be that loud.
Well, they have the it's built over the sides, and it just bangs that noise right back
down in. It's unbelievable. And they probably have the record to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
They recorded an earthquake on Monday night, didn't they?
That's true. Yep. At 4 years old, is your son a football fan? Does he watch?
He does. Yeah, he does. He yells touchdown.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really? Do they score when he yells touchdown,
or does he
just run around?
I tell them, touchdown. And he goes, touchdown!
But you're reminding him of when the Redskins last scored a touchdown. That's what you're referring
to. In his mind, they're undefeated right now.
Wow, that's nice.
That's nice. You're full children.
And Santa Claus is real.
This may be a stupid question, but is it fun, do you think, having a comedian father? Or does it not make any difference what you do for a living at home? Are you not that wacky guy with your kid?
I think the best part about being a comedian father is I'm home more.
That's true.
I'm with my kids
more. Because you're largely unemployed, is that what
you're
saying?
I'm extremely unemployed. Yeah. No, but my dad worked a lot. He was a police officer, so I never saw him except on weekends. But I'm with my kid most of the time, except when he's at school. So it's. I think I have a stronger bond just because I've been around him so much.
Do you follow him to school?
Yeah, and then I stare at them while they're at school in the bush.
Are you creepy? Eddie's hanging on the chain link fence outside the playground. Cops perusing, cruising
by. My kid's in there, I swear.
I got to get something else to do.
Why don't you have a TV show, Eddie?
Well, I shot a pilot.
You just did one.
Shot a pilot in July for a... we won't hear anything until January. Hopefully it goes to a network I can't name right
okay.
now. But hopefully, knock on...
Because you can't pronounce the name? Is that why?
I can't pronounce it.
Okay.
It's got letters in it. It's two letters with an and in the middle.
All right.
If that helps.
Narrows it down, certainly. can you tell us what kind of show it is?
It's actually... I can't really tell you what kind of show. It's guys going around the country trying to make money. That's pretty much the gist of the show.
All right.
That's as far as I can go with it.
Okay.
Are you making
I've signed
money
documents
in alleys behind
however you can turn a trick
stores
or make a buck?
Are they criminals? Could you be arrested
there
for what you're doing?
There could be. At this point, I'll do anything for money.
Okay.
So, I can't.
We're not
really
talking about your real life. We're talking about the pilot.
The pilot.
That you
can't
same
speak
thing.
Of.
The pilot. Okay. It's a sort of semi-reality.
Okay.
Thing, but
all right.
Hopefully, it goes.
Is there a horn involved?
There could be
okay.
at one point.
If that show goes, if the news
during
comes down,
week, during Sweeps Week, there'll be a horror
that
involved.
You get a show, then you absolutely get a wiki page.
That's how it works.
Now, wait a minute. You going to put it up, Bean?
No, I don't care that much. I'm just saying.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't.
Somebody will. It'll be great for
you.
Just
want to berate me with it.
Yeah, Bean will lose
on
leverage.
TV, it's over.
Friday night.
real quick before we get here, Friday night, $15, Hollywood.improv.com. You can see their show before you see Ralph and Kevin Smith with the Hollywood Babylon, both at the Hollywood Improv. What do you and your friends do? Is everybody gets up and does a set, or you guys are doing something together?
Oh, everybody's pretty much
sketch like, or what?
Everybody's doing a set.
Y'all talk at the same time?
Yeah, we're all going to do, it's going to be battle mic, where we all go up on stage at once and we just try to fight each other for the microphone.
Who can yell the loudest?
Yeah, and then you try to do a joke while you're being punched in the face by the other comics.
It's going to be really comedy for $15.
It's pretty experimental. It's going to be pretty.
Steel cage comedy.
Pretty. Actually, if you use the code Kevin and Bean, I think you get 50% off tickets.
What?
When you buy the tickets.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I was told.
That's
or you can use the code Eddie and get $5 tickets, which is actually cheaper. So my name actually devalues the tickets more than your guys'
if
name.
If you say Kevin and Bean and Eddie, they pay you.
They pay you to come in. Please, just come in. We need people
here's
in here.
$25.
Make it look like people care about this.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Just $15. Hollywood.improv.com this Friday night at the Hollywood Improv. Next time we see you, Eddie, I want you to have a page. I want you to have a TV show. And I want you to stop hanging around children's schools, okay?
I will do my best.
All of those things.
I can promise you two of those things.
I want a new and improved Eddie Pence next year. All right, my friend?
Two of those. Thanks for having me, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
All right, sold out, 24th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are this weekend at the Shrine. If you'd like to be there in person, we are shopping for contestants right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those with a game we'll play right after the top of the hour. Now it's Ralph Garman and time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. It is the first indicator of what films will be selected for nominations for the Academy Awards. The New York Film Critics Circle.
Usually it's the this one is respected?
It is, okay. And it is usually a pretty good indicator of who will be nominated for Oscars come the beginning of next year. Looks like American Hustle is going to be in that rarefied company because they just were named Best Film of 2013 by the New York Film Critics Circle.
Can't wait to see that.
How great does that look?
I know.
That looks great.
It looks crazy.
I think it's a week from Friday. I think the 13th that comes out.
Amazing cast. Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Renner, Jennifer Lawrence. Boy, looks terrific. Steve McQueen picked up the director nod for his work on 12 Years a Slave.
Mm-hmm.
He got the award for Best Director. Robert Redford won for Best Actor for his work in All Is Lost.
Wow.
Cate Blanchett won for her work in Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen film, which I loved. So they're saying these are all indicators you'll probably see these people show up when it's Oscar time. Well, that Cate Blanchett absolutely deserves it for her work in Blue Jasmine. It is one of the best performances I've seen in years and years and years. Speaking of movies, finally, they're getting around to that biopic about Laurel and Hardy.
What?
Laurel and Hardy, Kevin. They're going to make a movie about Laurel and Hardy.
Okay.
I don't know why they're rushing. Why don't they let it breathe a little bit, right? Before they get into the legendary silent movie comedy team of Laurel and Hardy. Actually, they weren't in silent movies, but still, it was a long time ago.
But they were, I mean, among the biggest stars in the world at the time, they might have an interesting story that could be told.
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah. What else you got?
The only thing that is encouraging is that the screenwriter who's writing the movie called Stan and Ollie also wrote Philomena. So he's a talented guy, and he's got a lot going on. So maybe there's something there. No word on casting yet who will play Laurel and Hardy. But
Bugs could play Hardy.
Oh, see? Because he was a big, fat guy.
He was fat.
And Bob Dylan could go to jail in France.
Really?
He was charged yesterday with incitement to hate.
That's a thing?
That's a thing.
All right.
He gave a recent interview in Rolling Stone magazine talking about race. And he said that if you got a slave master or clan in your blood, blacks can sense that. He said about Americans. That stuff lingers to this day, just like Jews can sense Nazi blood, and the Serbs can sense Croatian blood.
Has he gone bye-bye?
The Croatians didn't like that comment. The Representatives Council of the Croatian Institutions of France claimed Bob was promoting hatred against Croatians and filed a complaint with the Paris court. They're going to take on the case, and if Bob's convicted, he'll have to pay a fine and could spend up to a year in prison.
That is racist, and only part true.
So, I don't think Bob would fare well in prison.
No.
But he could go to jail for saying that thing he said that no one really...
It's funny, because it's racist.
No, it's not funny. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tyra Banks is 40 years old today. Jay-Z is 44. Fred Armisen celebrates his 47th birthday. Marissa Tomei is 49. And actor Jeff Bridges... Boy, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen it, rent that True Grit. Boy, is he good in that film.
I don't think I've seen that.
You didn't see True Grit?
I don't think so.
It's great. And Big Lebowski, of course.
Love that.
I think some of his best performances. Last Picture Show, and he was just a kid in that film. But he's a great actor. 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kings of Leon, Vampire, Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI, Arctic Monkeys, Cage, The Elephant, Group Love, Fools, New Politics, Think I Can Get Them All, Arcade Fire, sure. Phoenix, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, Lord, Portugal, The Man, Fits in the Tantrums, Atlas Genius, and Bastille. Those are the lineups for both nights of this weekend's sold-out 24th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. We would like you to be there with us this Saturday and Sunday night at the Shrine as we play a little game we like to call Lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa,
yeah,
something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, 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 but keep clear of her vagina.
Now, is that still is that still a rule? Or?
That's still a rule.
Things haven't changed?
Nope.
Stupid rule. All right. I believe assistant producer Christine is in studio with us, and she is going to be the guest licker here today. So this could be one of the most memorable lick leases of all time. Hi, Christine.
Lisa. She was handpicked by me.
I got to tell you, she walked in very excited about
very
this.
Confident,
yeah,
right?
She did. Somebody need to be licked? Which in this room is a bad question to ask.
What kind of licking are you hoping for today here, Lisa?
You know, I think Christine has that special soft, sweet touch that I'm looking for.
All right.
Okay.
I definitely do.
Maybe a level
Kevin,
bloom.
Why don't you explain to the callers on hold and the folks listening at home or in their cars how this game is played?
All right. We've written questions, and the answer is a number. Lisa May has to guess a number. She guesses first. You don't have to guess. All you have to say is her answer right on, or is the real answer higher or lower? That's it. Okay. It's pretty simple for you. It's very difficult for her.
Right.
So if you're right, then you have, in effect, licked Lisa, and you'll go into the drawing to win tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and Christine will, in fact, lick Lisa.
That's
how the game is played. Let's see what we got here on the lines. How about we start with line one and our man Carlos, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. You understand Lisa answers?
Yes.
Okay, here we
25.
Go.
25.
I haven't asked a question yet.
I'm wrong. Lick me.
Night.
No. Ah, she's throwing the game for Christine.
Night number one features the Kings of Leon. The Kings of Leon are from Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville is the home of the Country Music Hall of Fame, which was rebuilt in 2001. Lisa, your question is, in U.S. dollars, how much did the new Country Hall of Fame cost to build?
Oh.
2001.
Country Music Hall of Fame cost how much to build?
$25 million.
$25 million. Carlos, is that exactly right? Or is the right answer higher or lower?
I say lower.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's $37 million. Sorry.
Nobody's doing any licking here.
Dang, sorry, Carlos, nice try, Carlos. You idiot.
You don't take it easy.
Lisa's very upset.
He wanted tickets to both nights of acoustic, and you're mad you didn't get licked.
No one won here.
All right.
Let's go to Richard. He's on line two. He's our next contestant.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Richard.
All right, here's your question. Vampire Weekend's playing night one. Vampires have been around in English literature for centuries. Arguably, the most famous work of fiction is Bram Stoker's Dracula. Lisa, here's your question. How many years ago was Bram Stoker's Dracula published? How many years ago?
She
might actually know this one.
What do you do with the phone there, Richard?
No, I'm just listening.
All right, take it easy.
I'm going to say 220 years ago.
220 years ago. Is that right? Or is the real answer higher or lower?
Gosh, I would... She said 220?
She did. You know how old our country is, right?
We do need an answer, though.
Let's just say...
The real answer
is
higher or lower. It's not accurate. It's 116. So,
you're telling me it was almost 1900 when that book was written?
It was 1897, I think.
Yeah, I was thinking 1800s, but
that is a surprise. All right, sorry you did not get to lick Lisa. No licking going on.
What's happening here?
There's no fun being had.
I'm terrible.
All right,
Orlando is up next. That wasn't your fault, Lisa. He had the option of going higher or lower. He just chose wrong. Let's see what Orlando's got for us.
Hi, Orlando.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, we need somebody to go in the drawing, for God's sakes.
All right.
Good luck. The Arctic Monkeys are playing night one. The Monkeys, the band, was formed in 1965 in Los Angeles. Lisa, how many albums and singles have the Monkeys sold in the U.S.?
Albums and singles. Oh, okay.
The Monkeys.
5 million.
5 million. All right. Orlando, is the real answer higher, lower, or is Lisa correct?
Can you repeat the question?
The Monkees, the band, how many albums and singles have they sold?
And she said 5 million.
She said 5 million.
I'm going to say higher.
Would you say 65 million is higher?
You know, just a little bit.
Nicely done.
Not a big,
65
big difference.
Million.
You got lucky, Orlando.
You got lucky.
I was so close.
The Monkees.
As did Lisa.
And yet, I get this.
Yes, you do. Congratulations. Right,
Orlando is in the drawing. Let's see Christine do her first lick.
Oh, that's nice.
Lisa's actually...
Let's just keep playing.
She's actually...
Is that kind of behind your ear there? That did seem
nice.
Yeah,
it was. It was sweet.
All right, let's play this game as long as we have questions. Okay. Daniel is up next. He's on line 4. He's our next contestant to Lick Lisa.
Lick, Lisa. Lick, Lisa.
Morning,
Kevin and
Lee. Hi, Daniel.
But...
Yeah.
Keep clear...
No, we want to.
Okay, all right. All right, Lisa, Portugal the Band is playing night number 2. They are not from Portugal. They are from Portland, Oregon. Oregon, the state, has 3.8 million people living in it, mm-hmm. but is also one of the United States of America. Lisa, as of 2012, how many people live in the United States of America exactly?
Let me think. I used to know this.
It has changed.
And then someone died.
Since you know it. You can't know this.
525 million.
525 million. You never knew this. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Wow. All right, Daniel, is she right? Or is the right answer higher or lower?
I have to say it's lower.
It is lower. It's 313,914,000.
Well, some people died since I knew it.
Well, that's 200 million people died. Look, we saw the zombies, man. We all watched The Walking Dead.
All right, never come here, Christine. All right. How about
Lisa
like
is
right
throwing this here. Game, by the way, if she really thought 500 million people.
Nice.
Oh, look at
little
that.
Hip action.
Wow. I get what you're saying about the United States and Lisa. Let's talk about where
she's
been.
All right, we have time for one more contestant, and I think Jesus is up next. He's on line 5.
Jesus, hi.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Here's your question, Lisa. The band Phoenix is not from Arizona, but France. The
anywhere from... Okay, go ahead.
The capital city is Paris. Yeah. Paris Hilton is an American porn star. Lisa, here's your question. How much money each year does the porn star generate, the porn industry generate? How much money each year does the porn industry generate?
Worldwide or the U.S.? Because those are different answers.
Not really.
Okay.
It's U.S., actually, is where I got the answer.
$800
million. $800 million. Jesus, is she right, or is the right answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say higher.
Higher is correct, yes. $3.9 billion.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Bean. I think Lisa's just throwing it.
Yep, she absolutely is. She's never guessed worse. All right, last lick. Make it count.
Oh, nice.
Was that under the shirt?
I believe it. I couldn't see. I honestly couldn't see where that was.
Orlando, Daniel, and Jesus all are in the drawing. Only one can win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend. Who's the winner?
Jesus!
Jesus! The last person we talked to. Jesus, congratulations.
All right, yeah, party time.
Both nights, we'll see you there. Congratulations and thanks for playing.
Lick, Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
I like to be prepared. I don't like to show up at the job not knowing what the hell I'm talking about. So I put in the research. I put in the time. I'm that kind of guy. I'm a hard worker. Mm-hmm. And mostly lately, I've been dedicating my time to the Miss Double December pageant that is fast approaching on December 13th.
That's cool that you're spending so much time with that.
What a guy. And sometimes I'll just get online and just head on over to krock.com and just check out each of the 10 contestant bios and really take a hard, hard look at their photos and read all of the answers to all of their questions so that I can intelligently vote on who I want to represent the show for Miss Double December 2014.
Do you sometimes disrobe?
That's being a little bit too fine a point on it, Kevin.
Just wanted to make Ralph.
I had a hard, hard look at them.
I was looking at Ralph's face and I just wanted to make it worse.
I'm being.
I noticed something about all these ladies, by the way, that they have in common this year.
Yes.
They're all brunettes.
They are all brunettes. That is true.
Isn't that curious? Interesting, right?
Yes, Bean, it is.
And that was only the second thing I noticed that they all have in common. So you help us decide who will be Miss Double December 2014. Please go on and cast your vote and then be sure to join us Friday, December 13th as we crown the winner for the Miss Double December pageant at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Ralph is here now. Time for the final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Someone sent me a link to contestant Diana's work. Some of her work.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I'd like to see that link.
I hope that's her. I hope that's her talent. I hope that's what she's going to be doing in the talent portion of the competition.
Do we have to block the webcam?
Yes. Oh yes. Yes. Oh yes.
So you're saying yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, people. You love The Hobbit. Everyone does. New Hobbit movie's coming out on Friday, December the 13th.
Can't wait.
It's going to be in theaters everywhere. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Yay!
Smaug.
How do you spell that Smaug?
S-M-A-U-G.
Because I would say Smaug.
Smaug.
Would you say Smaug?
It's Smaug.
Smaug.
Now, stupid question here. Is that a real thing, or is that something in the imagination of Tolkien, the author? Is there a place called Smaug, I guess is my question?
Smaug, first of all, isn't a place. It's a person.
Oh, it's a person. Sorry.
You've never
and
seen
yes,
any of these movies,
yes, he's
you?
Real,
just like hobbits are. Just like Middle-earth is. It's all okay. real.
It is all real.
It all exists.
That's a great question,
yep.
though.
If you go to Carlsbad Caverns... If you go to the end of the cavern...
There's a secret door.
There's a secret door, and that's where Bilbo lives.
Okay.
And the ring is there,
uh-huh.
and Sauron, and Smaug, they're all there being for your enjoyment.
And if you have the password, he'll take you down to Middle Earth.
Please enjoy.
I've got to do that. Thank you for the tip. That's very generous
Smaug.
Of you to share that with me.
Just keep going. Here's a very special K-Rock Advance screening of The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, December the 10th. At the AMC Orange 30. I've got your tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that number will get a pair of passes to attend The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. And you, too, can see the documentary that Bean is looking forward to so much about all the true stories of Middle-earth and the Hobbits and Gandalf the Grey. And it's just
Gandalf is real, too.
Yeah, that's all. They're all sure. Everything is real.
Sure.
It is all real. The elves and the dwarves and the trolls... And it's all mysterious and real. So, please enjoy. I want to see Ron Burgundy in Anchorman 2 immediately.
I do too.
I can no longer wait another second.
When does that come out?
Did you see him hosting SportsCenter last night?
I thought it was tomorrow.
ESPN SportsCenter.
No. I thought it was the 6th or something. 5th or 6th. I missed it.
He's the best.
I missed it, too.
He's
what?
The best.
Was great.
He's the best. Here's he had an interview with Ron Burgundy interviewing Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning. Had a couple questions for him. I brought in a couple before. I thought you might enjoy it.
You are one of the great quarterbacks playing the game today. You've had a lot of success, and yet you've done it all without a mustache. You're running around out there, and I'm going to be honest with you, you look like a succulent baby lamb, okay?
I guess to tell you the truth, I never had much of a desire to grow any facial hair.
Mm-hmm.
I think I managed to play quarterback okay without a mustache. Eli tried to grow one a while back without much success, I have to say.
Oh, I saw that. It did not look good.
No, it did not. He also has questions about the mascot, the Broncos mascot, the horse that runs up and down.
Sure.
He was asking Peyton about that.
So you play in Denver for the Broncos at Mile High Stadium.
Correct.
Tell me about your relationship with Thunder.
Our mascot,
yes.
Thunder.
Yes.
You're talking about the horse that runs up and down the field every time the Broncos score.
Oh, yes. I've had my eye on that wonderful beast for decades.
It's all very funny. Peyton can barely keep from just busting out laughing. He's trying to play along and act like it's a real interview, but it's very entertaining. You can check it out online. You can find that.
Peyton's
footage.
The guy to do that, too, because he's got such a good sense of humor.
Good sense of humor, good performer. He can match him step for step. It's a spectacular. Speaking of which, you can see Anchorman 2 before everyone else if you're so inclined. They're doing a thing called a super ticket. It's available through Fandango, and you can use them to attend a screening in some AMC theaters. Selected AMC theaters are showing the movie 2 days before its national release. Now, it costs extra. It's $33 a ticket. But for that $33, you get to see the movie first. You get $5 applied towards any purchase you make at the concession stand. You get a digital download of an alternate version of the first Anchorman. You also get a copy of Anchorman 2 when that becomes available. So all that for $33.
Seems like a bargain.
If, like me, you cannot wait, you can check it out then. So, for you fans.
But this is America. I want it now.
Yeah, I know we all do. What are you going to do? While we're talking about movies, Veronica Mars movie has a release date.
Oh, how about that?
What a success story this thing has been since its Kickstarter to its final release, March 14th, 2014. Early next year, we're going to see it. They're not screwing around.
No kidding.
I guess it's like from beginning to end, about a year since they first put it up on Kickstarter to when you'll see it in theaters. But everyone's looking forward to it. They shot it in just 23 days.
Wow.
They knocked it out, and it's good to go.
So different than the way Corolla ran his, which is where he just took our money and left the country.
Right, yeah. Where he just invested it in more sangria bottles.
Right, just retired.
Exactly, yeah.
This no one, actual movie.
They're actually making the movie, this one is. So, very entertaining. This surprised me. Billy Joel. Yeah, you see residencies all the time with performers. They do it in Vegas all the time, where a casino will bring somebody in to sit down in their showroom, and they'll play for a year at a shot. But for the first time ever, they're doing it at a major sporting complex. Madison Square Garden has announced Billy Joel will be their music franchise to go along with their sports franchises, the New York Rangers, the Knicks, and the Liberty. Billy Joel will do one concert per month at the Garden for as long as they sell tickets, they say.
Huh.
So this will go well into 2014. He's already sold out the January 27th, February 3rd, March 21st, April 28th. He's already...
No
those
kidding.
Those shows are already sold out. You can't get tickets for those. But all of next year, he'll be doing a show once a month, and he's going to be the artist in residency at this Madison Square Garden performing music there.
I'm not too interested in him, but...
He puts on a great live show.
That's what I was going to ask.
If you've never seen him live, he's really entertaining.
That's what I was going to ask, because there are some performers who actually are better than their CDs when they're live. He's one of those?
I've always been a fan. I like his music, but especially live. He really puts it out there. He doesn't get around quite as quickly as he used to.
Right.
Because I think he ate a grand piano. That's what it looks
he's
like.
He's fat now?
He's not thin. He's not a thin fellow. Hmm. But still a good performer. And if you're in New York, you may want to check that out. And while we're talking about music really quickly, Rolling Stone magazine has released their list of the 50 best albums of this year, 2013. The magazine has something for everybody, I think, in the top 10. Here are the top 10 best albums of 2013, according to Rolling Stone magazine. John Fogerty wrote a song for everyone. Is it all tribute songs, or does Fogerty perform on there at all?
He does duets with current musical artists of his songs, right?
There you go. 9, The Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, that's a great album.
Great choice, great album. We've just scratched the surface of that here on K-Rock with that song we're playing, but there's a lot of good songs on that.
The National, Trouble Will Find Me, is 8th.
It's good, too.
Like Lord's Pure Heroine, 7th. Queens of the Stone Age, Like Clockwork. A lot of K-Rock artists.
This is sort of our type of list.
Arcade Fire, Reflector. The 5th best album of the year, according to Rolling Stone magazine.
Okay.
Then it all starts to go south. Paul McCartney's album, New.
Oh,
according to Rolling
Stone.
Look,
we know he used to be a Beatle, but stop it.
Look, I can understand throwing Paul a bone because he is a legend. But do you make him 4th out of the top 10?
No
way. You don't play with the top 10.
No, you don't.
Daft Punk's Random Access Memories. 3rd, Kanye West's Yeezus. And Vampire Weekend's Modern Vampires of the City was the number one best album of 2013, according to Rolling Stone. Congratulations. V-Dub.
No one calls Vampire V-Dub. Weekend that.
That's what I call him. Hey, V-Dub. That's what I say to him.
Oh, never
yo,
that.
V-Dub.
That's never happened.
Sup, V-Dub.
That's never happened.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Jeff Bridges. Can't say enough good things about him. 64 years old today. Marissa Tomei's 49. Fred Armisen from Portlandia and SNL, 47 years old today. Rapper Jay-Z, 44 years old. And Tyra Banks, 40 years old as well. She's everything. She's a spokesmodel. She's an actress. She's an author. She wrote that book, remember, called Tookie Land or whatever it was called, Model Land, about Tookie, who goes to the magical kingdom of models.
I don't know.
One of several best-selling books. But this woman, she's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's kind of crazy.
She does it all. She keeps all of her money in her forehead.
I have one thing to say to you.
Yes. What's that, Tara?
Kiss my fat ass.
Wow. Wildly inappropriate.
Does seem like you were just wishing her a happy birthday.
That's all I'm doing. She's 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have John C. McGinley in studio.
Oh, I love him.
How about that?
Me
I
too.
Do, too. Comedian Mike Birbiglia, whose name I can never say correctly.
You got pretty close there.
He will be here tomorrow morning. We also have a brand-new internet roundup, and we've got your tickets for the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all-new show.